Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's IP number. Welcome to the Crypt.
You going back in?
There's still men out there. God damn. When I go home, people ask me, "Hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie?" I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio. Freedomslips.com. Number one listener-supported radio. The printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Good morning, everybody. This is Daniel with the Ball Busters radio show, podcast, and Roku channel. And when I say radio show, podcast, and Roku channel, we can't also forget that we are on Josh Who TV. And I can't... Wow, now my mic is off. Is anybody hearing this? Oh, boy. That's... Okay. So I've got desktop audio, but I don't have a mic. That is interesting. I can hear myself just fine. Of course, there would be an issue as soon as I start. Okay. Stopping this recording real quick on OBS. I'm just going to shut that down and restart it. Let's see if that helps. I don't know what's up with OBS, but it's acting goofy. Hold on one second. Stop. God damn it. All right, guys. Hold on one second. This was supposed to be smoother than this, but my computer decided to update itself. And the only way my computer will update itself is when it forces itself to do so, because I sure as heck won't do a Microsoft update on my own. Yeah, the microphone's acting like it's not on. So, I don't know if anybody's hearing me or not. Oh, boy. This is something else. This is something else. Okay, hold on one second, guys. Of course, of course. The day starts and this is how it works. Let me just fix the video capture because that's also messed up. Un-effing believable. I definitely need somebody to chime in today to tell me whether or not this thing is going to be heard, because I can't tell because there's no volume meter on my microphone, which makes zero sense whatsoever at all. As Mr. What's-his-name says all the time. Let's see. I gotta get the focus off. That's always something that they do. All right, so this is weird because it doesn't have anything to do with Skype this time. Now this has something to do with OBS because my microphone is acting like it's not on at all. And if that's the case, then I'm talking to myself here. So that's twice now that I've fixed it. And I'm not seeing it come up. I can't begin unless I know that that's working. Here, I do have an idea, though. Let's see. Oh, yep, there's definitely some feedback pushing out, too. Let's do this again. Oh, yeah, there's some heavy feedback, because I don't have anything going on my desktop, and it's blasting the mic on that one again. This is Skype. This isn't anything but Skype. Okay, hold on. There's one way I can might be able to unsuppress this. Let's see. There's a setting. And if it's off, then it's an issue, but it might not be off. No, currently in use. Okay, well, that's that then. We're just going to roll with it. All right, guys, that's the way it goes. So I'll just start off again. Good morning, this is the Ball Busters Radio Show. You know what? There's one way, other way I can check. Let me just do one thing. Quick access. Nope, not that. Let me just see if I can play this back. If it works and I can hear myself, then we're good to go. I did a short little recording. And then we'll just check this. Guys, sorry about the constant. This is technology doing what technology does, which is sabotage every single aspect of my life all the time. So let's just see if I can play this back and I can hear myself, then we're good.
.com, it's staff or affiliates.
Yeah, it was perfect. Let me just double check this other part here. Nope, I have no microphone. I literally have no microphone. I have to restart my computer. Guys, I'll be back. You can't hear me anyway, so what's the difference? That is fantastic. What the hell is going on? What the fuck is going on here? All right, so since you guys cannot hear me at all. All right, guys, there was an issue with my microphone on my desktop. I'm not sure if you guys are going to be able to hear me or not, so we're just going to go ahead and do it anyway. And once again, we have the sound of the ocean in the microphone. I was about to say this was going to be one of those days that there wasn't going to be any problems, but I was wrong. And I can really hear some horrible feedback yet again on Skype, so I'm going to double check now to make sure that the settings on my sound for my apps, I got to go in through here again, because Skype likes to manipulate things even when it's off, and it was suppressing my microphone so that I couldn't talk to you guys. That's Skype. That's Skype just manipulating things. And with the Microsoft update, it decided to suppress my microphone. Overnight, in the middle of the night, between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m., it decided to start messing with my functions. So that's how things work around here. Sabotage every which way you look. And I'm not sure why there's a big black X around there, but let's just see if we can get going here. All right, guys, I'm going to get the introduction started. You are watching the Ballbusters Radio Show and Podcast. Obviously, we have Roku Channel and JoshuTV.com. Ballbusters is also on brand new tube, and you'll find us a little bit on Odyssey from time to time and a little bit on BitChute, but not the majority of the stuff you're going to find is going to be on JoshuTV.com, Roku TV channel, and, of course, the podcast. We have three guests that I already did pre-recorded interviews with today. This is a very special Ballbusters episode, and we don't want to miss a single moment of it. So let's get started with this new introduction that, oh, also crashed, which means I have to start that up again. Hold on. Jesus. I had to restart the entire computer just now because Microsoft and Skype, and because if you understand this, the way those two softwares work together, the operating system and Skype, they're like in cahoots with each sabotaging everything on your computer. It sounds like it's made up, but it's actually a real thing. And anybody who's ever had to deal with it will understand exactly what I'm talking about. It is Sabotage Central. Where is the videos thing? That's not what I'm looking for. Hold on one more second. What the fuck is going on? Yep, massive feedback in the mic. So I'm guessing that this isn't even broadcasting right now. Okie doke. Let's see. Video shows. That's not what I look for either. I need... Everything was set up perfectly. Everything was going to be nice and smooth, nice and professional, and then this happens. All right, guys, here it goes. Ready? Let's do it. Let's get on air over here on Fact Hunter Radio. Good morning, everybody. There's a few hang-ups, but we are getting rolling right now. Let's go. And here is the new introduction.
You're listening to the best-smelling man in radio, the Ballbusters Podcast.
Let's go!
Don't get caught broadcasting out of your anus. Stay grounded to earth. Learn the facts at FactHunterRadio.com. We now return to Ball Buster's podcast, already in violation.
You owe me a great big apology.
And there are quite a many terrible lies abound in this age of deception that we find ourselves in, and we should be pretty darn right mad about them, and that is called healthy and justifiable. That is what we are supposed to be as warriors of this constitutional republic. And each and every one of you who takes the time to listen to these types of things, that educate yourself on your own, who do the reading, who do the research, who look into all these documents that I present and others on this campaign to restore freedom and safety to our families, you are all warriors of the constitutional republic, whether you know it or not. And you're probably also members of the militia, whether you know it or not, because there's actual law in the books that states if you are under the age of 45 years old, able-bodied, and not a criminal, you are, by default, a member of the militia. If you did a military service whatsoever and you were general or honorably discharged, you are a member of your militia until age 63. And that's not saying that's excluding anybody who's older who has the will to do. Anyone who has the will to do and is on our side is welcome. And that doesn't mean we're storming a castle with tiki torches and pitchforks, but gosh darn it, we're getting damn close, aren't we? So I want to introduce to you, and you may have seen this man around. He's been around on a lot of different radio shows, video format, like Stu Peters he was on, and that's where I first saw him, and I believe this was almost as far back as January when I first saw this gentleman. It's a very sad story. This is a father's story, and this is what these medical monsters do to families and do to human life. This man is named Scott Shara. He's from Wisconsin. His daughter was named Grace, and this is his story. I'm going to be playing a pre-recorded video right now, interview of him. There were some issues, so right now you're going to see a bunch of my face. For those of you who are watching the video after the radio show plays, for everybody on the radio show, this is just going to be, it's going to seem fine, so it'll be good to go. And so same thing on the podcast format as well. So let's get this started. I'm probably not even going to have to interject at all. It's an hour and 5 minutes, so it's going to have to stop before the break and then continue over. We've got 3 hours, so we got plenty of time. And then after that, we're going to be listening to Dr. Artis and myself and Josh from Josh UTV had a little powwow yesterday, and a lot of stuff was brought up that's very important that we should all listen to. The Reawaken America tour that Dr. Artis is on is kicking off again here real soon. So this is all really timely and very, very pertinent. Urgency is the key when it comes to anything that's an offense against you, okay? It's not wait and see how it manifests and roots itself even deeper into your culture, society, government, and whatnot. Urgency, just like cancer, you don't wait to see how much it metastasizes. You get rid of it as soon as you can, correct? I'm guessing. I'm not a doctor. But here comes Scott's interview, and like I said, after that we will be going on into some other topics. I've got a couple of things I need to show you guys that you're not going to believe. So here it comes. And here we go. Here's the first one. This backup here. I've got a little backup. Okay. Well, this is Daniel with the Ball Busters radio show, podcast, and Roku TV channel. And I'm here today with Scott. Is it Shara? Or Scara.
Shara. You did it, Shara. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, yeah, my last name's Urbeta, so I get to practice. I first learned about Scott and his story through Stu Peters.
All right, guys, hold on a second. There's another glitch hang up here. Something's not happening with the video.
There it goes.
This back up here.
Let me just back up.
Learned about Scott and his story through a Stu Peters episode a while back, and because of my couple interviews I've had with Dr. Artis now, I've gotten a little rapport with Christina, and she told me about you, sir, and I had to put two and two together before I realized it was the same person I was thinking of from back when I was watching the Stu Peters interview. So I would love to just give you the floor. You can discuss whatever, however you want to tell the story. It's really important that people hear this, because the sad part about this is that this isn't just one isolated incident. This is happening multiple times a day, because most parents aren't even aware that this is something that is happening to their children as it's happening. So it's very important.
Right.
But basically the father's against the Farmageddon right now. So we need to make other people aware that this is a horrible protocol. So I'm going to drop this down to this screen level, and I will give you the floor, sir.
Well, thank you. As I am going, Daniel, you certainly can ask questions to interrupt. I prefer that, because your questions, of course, are going to be the same questions other people have. So it's important to do that so that we cover it the best way possible.
Absolutely.
What you said at the beginning, I want to do a little introduction at least about Grace, but you know, at the beginning you said that this is happening one to two times a day. I would say it's significantly more than that.
I said multiple. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
I think that out of the million COVID deaths, I mean, I would think, I mean, it's several hundred thousand at least have died with protocols that were wrong. And Grace's, the way Grace died is fairly unique, because the protocol is not all that common in the U.S. In fact, I think Grace's case is the first one they were caught. It's very common in the U.K. And, you know, so that's coming here. And that's one of the things that makes this story unique. The other one is that we were there. They took her out while we were in the room. And, you know, that's, most people don't realize how they're treating your loved ones. You found out, you know, that the doctor called you, your loved one died, and you think they died of COVID. And what I'm going to tell you when we get through the story is this happened while we were there. So multiply by 10 what happens when nobody's in the room, because they have three things going for them to pull this off. Number one is, you know, they're getting grease money from the government,
right,
in the form of COVID bonuses. Then they have immunity from liability under the CARES Act and the PREP Act, and then the Shroud of Secrecy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the Shroud of Secrecy, you know, there's nobody there challenging anything that's going on.
And the assumption of ignorance among the common folk to not know what they're doing, so that they'll just talk down to you and be condescending if you do question anything that they're doing.
Oh boy, did that happen big time in Grace's situation. In fact, when I started writing about this, I like to write. And so before Grace died, after I got kicked out of the hospital, I started writing, taking the notes I took in the hospital and started writing it down. And I titled the paper 110%, because I probably heard that, 20, 30 times, that we're given 110%. You know, we've been doing this 2 years, and there was just this arrogant, know-it-all attitude. It was sickening.
Well, yeah, they certainly did perfect it. They've been doing it 2 years. 2 years the wrong way, deliberately. They've been perfecting their craft, for sure.
No doubt. So just, you know, just so people understand who they took out, you know, Grace was one of God's. Grace was 19 when she died. She had Down syndrome. She was a literal gift. No family deserves to have that type of child in their family. I mean, that's how wonderful she was. So it's very hard to tell this story, because she was, but I'm telling it because she was my best buddy. You know, she loved me even when I was a jerk. Which I can't love people when they're a jerk. You know, I just am not good at that. You know, the reality is the only time I'm 100% sure that I love somebody is when I'm sleeping. But Grace, Grace loved people while she was awake 24/7. She was, we homeschooled her, which really means my wife did most of the work, and she did an outstanding job. You know, Grace could read and write because of my wife. And, you know, she was a fashion queen. She just loved dressing up. She had quite a sense of humor. You know, I'll just tell a quick story. I mean, she deer hunted with me. So, I mean, she did everything. There's nothing that we held back. She was quite an accurate shot with a gun. Anyway, one time when we were deer hunting, she said, "Dad, I have a joke for you." I said, "Well, what's your joke?" And you got to consider, she made this up. And so she said, "Where do bees go to the bathroom?" I said, "I don't know. Where do they go to the bathroom?" And she said, "The BP station." That's good stuff. She was a blessing from God, and you know, He gave us an angel to walk around with us for 19 years. And she called me Earthly Dad. That's how much she knew the relationship with her Heavenly Father.
I looked at that that drawing that she had done. Christina had shared that with me, and that's when I started putting it together that you were in fact the person I thought you were from that interview that I had seen a while back. And the first time I did see it, I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm 43 years old, and I was crying like a baby, you know, just listening to the story. I got a daughter. She's 5. If I had this on split screen right now, you'd see my face is red right now talking about this. So I know this is hard. I know you've done this several times already today. So I was concerned that this was going to wear you out, and I was concerned for you that I was like, maybe we should do it on a different day because this has got to drain you. It's got to be tough, the roller coaster. Each time you got to talk about it over again. So say whatever it is that you want to about it, and if you want to talk more about how we fix it, because it's easier to do that, or, you know, it's up to you, sir. Again, I think all sympathies will be with you, and definitely our love, too.
Well, thank you. I would, so when Christine emailed me, it took me, I thought about it for about 10 seconds, and I thought, well, what's our goal right now? And our goal is to get this message out to whoever will listen, because we just, there's an urgency to this message. And so waiting, you know, I always, you know, when people give me two choices for a podcast, I always take the earliest one. Because, you know, none of us know when our last day is going to be. And there's an urgency to this message. And it's tiring, but so what? You know, everything worthwhile is tiring. So anyway, just getting into the story.
Sir, can you just tell the people where you live, like where you're from, and like a little bit of that too? It's kind of, because so that way they kind of understand where the area of the hospital is and everything, where it went down.
So we live physically between Appleton and Green Bay, Wisconsin. So most people would be at least familiar with Green Bay because of the Packers. Mm-hmm. The hospital that Grace was, that killed Grace, is in Appleton, Wisconsin. And that is St. Elizabeth's Hospital. That's part of a mega hospital system called Ascension, which has 142 hospitals, and I think they're in 13 states, if I'm not mistaken.
Ascension, Ascension. What a name for that, given what they did.
Well, I know. And St. Elizabeth's, one of the attorneys we work with, I mean, a lot of people, you know, they make these quips, and, you know, there, a lot of them are pretty comical, and he just said, I think they need to rename it to Satan's Elizabeth. So, I mean, that's really true. I mean, what they're doing is, it's no good. And when you hear the story, you hear the details of it, you'll come to the same conclusion that I've come to, which is this was premeditated. This was done, as part of a lot bigger agenda. And Grace was a casualty of that agenda. And so as you try to relive this, I'm just going to shut my email is dinging, so I'm going to shut that down here quick. Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. I've tried to turn mine off a few times and still haven't been able to figure it out myself.
Yeah. Well, I usually turn it off, but all of a sudden it just dinged. And so I wanted to make sure that people aren't hearing that. So when, you know, the premeditated piece was a hard thing, you know, to come to grips with. I've done well over 500 hours of research on Grace's case. And then you start out, your first is, okay, they killed her. And then, you know, it was really an innocent thing, in that I thought it was innocent. Meaning we wrote everything up, we sent the hospital the research and thinking we just wanted to have a meeting with them to talk through it and hopefully they repent. And then, you know, if they see it, you know, I just thought it was an anomaly at that point. But then they refused to meet with us and you start researching and all of a sudden, holy cow, you know, you stumble across, well, they're getting this COVID money. Well, there's bonuses for ventilators. And all of a sudden you realize, oh my gosh, this is why this happened. And then it gets into, Agenda 21 and genocide. And, you know, this is stuff people in the know, like most of the hosts of these podcasts. I mean, you guys have known this for a decade or longer. Well, I had self-discovered it in researching my daughter's death. That, so if I would have heard the stuff that I'm talking about even a year ago, I would have said it's conspiracy theory. But right. I researched it on my own for my daughter's death. And when facts start lining up, you realize, okay, it's not conspiracy theory anymore. These are facts. And so this research, because there's a believability factor to the story, great.
Let me just say real quick, and that is super important what Mr. Shera brought up just now, and that is you have to come to this stuff on your own. Hearing something only sinks in to a superficial level of the layers of our thick heads, really. If we hear something and it sounds good to us, we're more like rubber. We'll reflect it, meaning we'll parrot it because that's something that sounds legitimate, you know, it sounds good, sounds about right. But in reality, are we really investing the time to put the right work into making sure that we can also verify it through our own research and, you know, our own due diligence. So when you have to start looking for answers on your own and you come across all this information on your own and it's not being, it's harder to deny it because it's not someone else telling you this and you're having to decide whether or not you want to accept it. No, now this is you finding the same source of material that is in abundance, hiding in plain sight, and the only thing you can do is then start putting pieces together, connecting dots, and, you know, as much as you might want to push away an outcome or a conclusion or an analysis that you don't like because it goes against all the things you used to believe in, it's hard to deny it when it's right there in front of you. And that's the difference between hearing something and, you know, infotainment purposes only to the way it affects you. It's just, you know, for the emotional highs, the endorphin and adrenaline and, you know, let's get mad and let's go through that. And then, okay, moving on to, oh, let's time for dinner, you know, and then you forget about everything. Like it wasn't real. But when you have emotional traumas or you have a desire to seek things out on your own because the world doesn't seem to make sense to you anymore, and you're just trying to figure out, a lot of times you stumble upon things you weren't even looking for. And it's at that moment that you realize that this information is a lot more pure and a lot more real than you ever imagined it was. And then it surprises you how quickly you were able to find it, how much of it there is in abundance. And then you can also start picking out which ones, what information isn't right. And then, you know, just thrown in there to confuse people. But when you come upon it on your own, it makes such a deeper impact in you because, okay, no one told me this. I didn't hear this from Alex Jones or Stu Peters or anyone else. I found this out. And now how do I, you know, it's more personal. It's more of a one-on-one connection with the truth of our lives. Unfortunately, right now is not the best, but it's there and it's too obvious to and too in your face to ignore. And at that point, you're forced to change your paradigm, everything. So that's a very important key to this is people need to not just listen, but they need to look. And they need to look on their own. And when they do, you'll come back and be like, you know what? You were right. Or they'll say, you know what? I just found something out that I can't even believe. So it's a very important key to this is to do your own work on finding the truth, and then you'll be surprised just how much of this stuff has been floating around that's just been bouncing off of you this whole time. Because, and that's the way it should have been. You should have listened to everything, you know, read everything, believed nothing until you could verify it on your own.
Lisa's website has all the research on it. Well, not literally all of it. We have some things we're keeping close to the vest.
Okay, because I interrupted, this is Grace's website that he has up, and I will be asking him throughout this what that website is in case people are interested, and it will be in the description of this video and podcast once I publish it.
But it's enough so that you can see that what I'm telling when people listen to this is the truth. So
what's that website, sir? Hello.
It's OurAmazingGrace.net.
Outer?
Our Amazing Grace. Yep, OurAmazingGrace.net.
I'll make sure I put that into the description at the end of this.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
And they can help you know, support the cause and all that through that website as well as learn the story and equip themselves with the knowledge that's necessary to help save their, you know, protect their own family. Correct.
Yep, we have resources on the page. You know, mainly I want you to get familiar with Grace, because there's lots of cool stuff with Grace on there. But we have resources. You know, there's how can you help? Is got the gifts on go, and all the research is under the tragedy tab. So it's fairly easy to navigate. There's a lot of hours in putting that together, but I thought it was necessary because of documenting the story, and people need to have a place to go to see it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So now what I was talking about with Dr. Artis, because I wanted to verify with him that it wasn't just something that I was hearing, and I was doing some research, and I had mistaken NIH protocols with CDC, so I guess that was the one error that I had as far as who's pushing the hand, right? But the government and everything, the whole entire system is involved in this situation. It's not just, hey, we're taking orders from the World Health Organization, or we're listening to the CDC, or we're taking Fauci's advice. It's a whole systemic thing, because if you don't do what the NIH tells you with this protocol with the remdesivir and the ventilation, then they'll strip you of your Medicare and Medicaid, which is like 80% of the hospital's revenue. Therefore, they would shut down the hospital. So that's, I mean, if you want to look, that's like the nicest way of putting what they're doing, because they're in jeopardy if they don't. But when you see the faces of these completely, they're heartless and insensitive and they're completely indifferent to human life, these nurses and doctors, then you realize that this is more than just because they feel like they have to or they'll lose their job. This is more of a – they're quite invested in doing this thing, and they don't seem to give it about anybody. And I just censored myself there.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be the case. I mean, it's hard to get there.
It is.
You know, mentally, it is hard to get there. You think, well, they want to protect their job or they're uneducated, but
it's the way they treat people on the person-to-person level that you start to realize that facade that you want to believe is just because they feel like they have to, it melts away pretty quickly. And you see that there's something behind this. There's something really rotten inside these people's hearts, if they have any.
And I've had a number of doctors and nurses reach out to us via the website, and you know, they're on board with what we're doing. They know, you know, so there's some good ones out there. I was in a different hospital. After Grace died, I went into a different hospital 3 days later with symptoms significantly worse than Grace, just about died. And that hospital chose to not follow the protocol, and they saved my life. They turned me around in 24 hours by doing everything opposite of what happened with Grace, other than oxygen. They put me on oxygen, but then everything else was different. So they chose to not buy into the government foolishness.
Did you catch that? Remember when Dr. Artis had said the same thing about whatever the NIH, CDC is telling you, if you're doing the direct opposite? And that's also – I believe Dr. Artis was quoting a gentleman who spoke in front of Congress. That guy's name escapes me, but he does quote him. And that's – basically how this is being fixed. If they tell you not to take hydroxychloroquine, if they tell you not to use Nicorette gum, if they tell you not to do this or that or ivermectin, if they tell you that, you know, antiparasitics don't work, if they tell you this, they tell you that, chances are it's because those things are actually going to help you. And, you know, they demonize vitamin C, for God's sake, and zinc, things that you can buy over the counter that will help you, you know, magnesium, zinc, all these things that are depleted during these types of episodes that people are having when they can't breathe, their suppressed breathing or their diaphragms being suppressed or something of that nature. So just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind that this is yet another person saying they didn't do it. They basically did the opposite and a life was saved. So this protocol that they're on isn't to save lives. It's to do quite the opposite, really.
That is, I'm surprised that there's one out there that still does, you know. I thought everybody was in lockstep at this moment, you know, especially if they're in something as big as a hospital establishment. But I'm glad to know that you had that situation, experience yourself, because I'm fortunate to be talking to you now because of that.
Well, I that's by God's grace. I mean, they didn't follow that protocol, and thankfully they didn't. I mean, it's a lot smaller system. I think it's only a 5 hospital chain in northeastern Wisconsin versus a mega chain that's obviously is more concerned about money.
Right. And, you know, if this is such the dead giveaway here, no pun, but the giveaway here is how well has that been working for you? I mean, if they're so certain and determined to just do this one thing, well, how's the outcome been? What's your success rate? Do you think maybe there's a couple flaws in this this procedure, or is your objective quite literally what is the outcome? Is most likely you're putting somebody away that didn't have to go as soon as you made them go away. You know, I mean, that's the illogical thing. Like, why wouldn't you, as a scientific mind or as a doctor, want to consider other things, especially healthy things? And this is why I think this has been going on for a long time in the realms of cancer. With chemotherapy and radiation, I think these are all just fast tracking you. They're cashing in on a human life, and they're just, you know what I mean? They're just milking it, and then your family that survives is going to be paying them for the rest of their lives.
That's of course right on the money. Yeah, it's the scientific method is woefully missing from what happened with this. I mean, it's still happening. But, you know, there are doctors doing it. Have you heard of Dr. Chetty from South Africa?
I have not.
There's a link to his findings on Grace's website. Anyway, the reason I got tuned into him is because our whole family was on the frontline doctor's protocol. So why did Grace and I end up in the hospital? And the answer to that, Dr. Chetty uncovered in that, with the Delta variant, if you have a propensity to clot or produce inflammation, so a genetic disposition to do those things, you'll end up with low oxygen. And I knew I had both of those before COVID. Grace would have inherited that genetic disposition from me, whereas my wife had COVID symptoms worse than Grace and I, but her oxygen never went below 95.
May I ask this as well? Being, are you kind of, I mean, I'm looking at the background, and should I assume that you're in like a rural area, suburban, probably not congested city, right? Because you probably have your own land to hunt on and stuff like that, right?
Right. So we live out in the country.
Okay. So are you on well water?
Yes.
Okay. The only reason why I asked is because of what we've been talking about with Dr. Artis, and right. Maybe that's why, again, the symptoms weren't as dramatic, or, you know, but so the other things are causing this to happen to people other than just, you know, the more common, what do you call it, modalities or vehicles to get people sick, which would be like, you know, city water and things like that. But,
right.
I mean, if you want to take it and just call it a virus, then that's, you know, until there's a better explanation, sure, let's run with it. But there's obviously, once they get you there with certain symptoms that make you panic enough to go there, then they've got you. And it's like, okay, you've walked into their realm now, and you're not going away, you know, and it's into their clutches. It's quite the system.
So we went into the hospital, into the emergency room on October 6th because Grace could not maintain her oxygen level, and And so we perceive that as an emergency at that point, which it is an emergency if you can't
absolutely
maintain a 90%. But if I would have known then what I know now, we would have never admitted her to the hospital. We would have had the diagnosis and then taken her home with oxygen and a steroid. And if we would have done that, Grace would be alive today. And I say that with an absolute 100% certainty because I'm alive today. And when I went into the hospital, I was at least three times worse than Grace. I just about died the first night. Grace never came close to that until they killed her the last day.
And that was with cycling her through with remdesivir? Was that
amitriptyline? No. Grace was not. That's one thing there's so many things that are unique to Grace's case, but you know, most people are on the remdesivir and ventilator protocols. Grace never was on that. They figured out a different way to take her out. But it's because we were advocates. So we would not let them do a ventilator on Grace. And they asked us, they said she needed it one time, but then they asked us four other times for a pre-authorization to put her on it just in case, in their mind, just in case, which was always couched in the way that these type of things tend to happen in the middle of the night when we can't get a hold of the family.
Right. Those just in case things are just there. That's just paperwork for them. Once they've got your signature on a document, it's a contract. It's too late. Oh, there's no going back.
It's over. I mean, Grace would have been on a ventilator if we agreed to that, even though she didn't need one. So she was never a ventilator candidate. So walking through what happened then, I just want to share one, for instance, that happened on October 9th. So we were advocates in the room. So myself and then my daughter Jessica, when I got kicked out, my wife couldn't be an advocate because she had COVID. But the reason that we were advocates is because when they first said that they want to admit Grace to the hospital, I said, well, then I'll be staying with her. And they told me that I couldn't. And so then I asked, what's the reason? And they said, because we don't allow advocates or visitors on the COVID floor. And so then I said, well, I'll be taking Grace home. And after 2 hours of deliberation, they came back and said, we decided you can stay.
Oh, how nice of them. Isn't that your parental right to do so?
Well, not only is it my parental right, I had another right. I mean, our family had another right under the Americans with Disabilities Act because Grace's Down syndrome was a disability.
Right.
So it's frustrating to think that they pull the wool over people's eyes by their policy. You know, everything is attributable to COVID. Every excuse they have, well, COVID this, COVID that. You know, it's all, as you know, it's just a pack of lies. So the one example I want to share is on October 9th, Grace, I ordered food for Grace and started feeding her, and a nurse came in the room and said, you can't do that. I said, well, what's the reason? And she said, well, her oxygen saturation is only at 85%. And I thought about that, and after about 20 minutes, I had all my COVID materials in the room, suspecting I would get COVID while I was in the room, which I did. But I had my oxygen meter, my finger oxygen meter. So I put it on Grace thinking she cannot be at 85%. That's impossible because she's on a BiPAP. And in the emergency room, she just had a regular cannula and she was over 95%. So I put the finger meter on, it read 95%. So I called the nurse back in and I asked her if my finger meter was accurate. And she said, yes, it is. So I said, well, why is my $50 meter more accurate than your $50,000 meter? And she said, the leads get sweaty. And I said, if that's unknown, why don't you proactively change out those leads every 3 to 4 hours or whatever it takes so that you have an objective reading, given that this is the primary tool that you're using to decide how to manage my daughter's care.
Exactly.
And she said, you should, she snottily responded, you should just be thankful you caught this. So just process that. So we got wise to it and we're testing her oxygen regularly. And there was many, many times the differential was large. And Grace's last day, it was over 40 points different.
From what they were telling you, it was over 40 points different. Yeah.
So you think, what is their motivation of having faulty equipment and recording oxygen at these arbitrarily low rates? Well, it justifies procedures that are not necessary, like a ventilator. So then when you get a call that Uncle Joe died, and then you find out, well, he was on a ventilator, and then if you're wise enough to get the records, you'll see that the records show, well, he had to get on a ventilator. He couldn't maintain his oxygen. And nobody questions the faulty equipment. But, I mean, I was there living it. And they admitted to us they had faulty equipment, but they never fixed anything.
They never calibrated it, or it took the time to – when everything you're doing is based upon the oxygen saturation, and then you don't even care about how accurate that is, ding, ding, that's ding, red flag.
Right. Exactly. I want to jump into Grace's last day, but I want to just share a couple of minor details. One is on October 10th, which was a Sunday, I got taken out by an armed guard. And, you know, essentially for challenging these things, like this example I'm telling you. And then.
How do they have the right to do that? They're lying to your face. And because you don't wear the same cloth that they do, their little white coat, somehow you're basically treated like a peasant who has no rights, and you're brushed away. You're a parent, and again, once you said, like you said, the Americans with Disabilities Act, you have all these rights to be there and to be monitoring and having, you know, checks and balance system with these doctors. But the mere thought of there being witness to anything that they do or any accountability for their actions is completely so, you know, intolerable to them. It's just, again, they're basically screaming that they're doing something wrong to the people who have a, you know, common sense. Otherwise, they wouldn't care if somebody was there. They'd be happy to have you there so that they could, you know, if they weren't doing something odd, they would have you there to see that they're not doing something that's off. You know, that more, all the merrier if you're not doing anything wrong. It's not like you're crowding their space. It's not like you're taking up their elbow room to work on anything. It's, you're simply there to observe. And to say, hey, wait a minute, this doesn't seem right. And nothing about our system makes any sense whatsoever. It's very, very frustrating every time I think about it. I'm sorry, yeah, sir. I didn't mean to interrupt that part.
No, it's fantastic. I'm glad when you interrupt it, your comments are spot on. One person commented recently, it's not a broken system that needs to be fixed. It's a fixed system that needs to be broken.
Absolutely.
I think that's right. Mm-hmm. So now we have to hire Grace's special needs attorney to negotiate with the hospital attorney to get my daughter Jessica in as a replacement advocate. My wife couldn't do it because she had COVID. And so now we have 44 hours total without an advocate. During that 44 hours, they use that as an excuse to ratchet up a sedation drug called Presidex 7 times. So Presidex, they started Grace on Presidex on October 9th. Presidex is a sedation drug used for surgery. It's an anesthesia drug for surgery. The package insert, which is the rules they're supposed to follow, say to use it for no more than 24 hours. The anesthesia nurses will tell you that we don't use it for anything more than 3 hours. It's unsafe.
So they put it into a medically induced coma.
Basically. Well, essentially, a medical malpractice nurse reviewed the records and she called it chemical restraints. So that's how they set up Grace's death. They had her on this drug for 4 full days before her last day. In spite of that, Grace had a good day the day before she died. My daughter Jessica was in the room, getting along. You know, Grace is just, you know, they're just doing what sisters do. And before Grace went to bed, she sat up in the bed with the BiPAP mask on. Jessica called her two boys, Grace's nephews, on FaceTime, and Grace sat up and waved and hollered, "Hi, boys." Jessica tracked her oxygen all through the night. It was 98, 99% all night long.
So how much she was still there if she was, if her oxygen levels were getting back to, I mean, if you were a smoker, 99 to 98 is pretty good, you know?
Yeah, no, great. Well, one of the issues, so why was she there? I mean, that's one of the things that I haven't gotten up a lot over the last couple of months, but last night was another night where you start playing that through in your mind. Why didn't I take her out here? Why didn't I take her out there? Because you can't help but doing that. You're a human and you love your daughter and you just miss her. You want her here. So you kick yourself for these type of things.
I wasn't saying that indirectly at you. Yeah. I just was trying to figure out why the doctors were holding on to her is what I was kind
of, I know you weren't. It's what happens when you start processing it. But what we learned is that once Grace got put in Precedex, she got classified as ICU. So that's significant because she never changed rooms. The care never changed, but the payment to the hospital changed and her status changed. We lost rights. As soon as Grace was ICU, we lost rights to take her out whenever we would want. And that's significant for people to know. Do not let your loved one get on a sedation med because if you want to try to get him or her out, it's called against medical advice and it's a fight. You can't just take them out to say.
Pay very close attention to that, please. If you see this coming down the pike and when it comes to one of your loved ones, make sure that you step in front of it before it happens because this is the warning right here. If they put them on a sedation drug like that, they change their status. Doesn't mean that they changed anything else about it, including the appearance or the room. But at that point, they've got you. And they've got your loved one, and you have nothing you can do about it without an actual physical battle.
I've had enough. We're leaving. I'm firing you, and we're leaving. You can't do that.
That's another legal loophole that they're utilizing.
Yep, it is. And that's why, it was great that you brought that up because it gave me an opportunity to weave that into the story. So now, Grace, the next morning, the doctor called Cindy and I at about 8 o'clock, and he said, he was calling. He had talked with us the evening before about the fourth time requesting a pre-authorization for a ventilator. He wanted to know our decision. We said, no, we're not doing that.
All right, so we're about to hit the break, so I just want to pause here, and we'll continue just as soon as we get back from that. So in about, let's see if it actually kicks on. I should read about now. So anyhow, so far you've seen this. I apologize for the hang-ups in the beginning. That's Microsoft and Skype fighting with me. So I'll see you guys in about 4 minutes, and we'll pick it up from there. A lot more to come. Stay tuned.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Hi, I'm Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's Ivan Franklin. Welcome to the Crypt.
What the heck is the truth, jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
All right, let's just jump right back into this, and we'll do more talky-talk later on. We are about halfway through this first one.
Consistent with all the other times we said no. And then he made the comment, Grace had such a good day yesterday, I think we should put in a feeding tube. So we foolishly agreed to that. And I say foolishly because of how it shook out in the story. But process, why did she need a feeding tube? Remember, they denied me feeding her. They denied my daughter Jessica feed her, and the nurses did not do their job. She should have been fed the whole time. There's absolutely no reason a feeding tube was necessary. But they have her sedated instead of feeding her.
Right.
That's just, it's sickening. So now, as the day unfolds, Jessica says there's a 14-year ICU nurse who was in charge of Grace's care that day. That's significant. Because if you want to wonder, was this premeditated or not, that becomes a significant fact. Because it wasn't. A 14-year ICU nurse isn't going to make a mistake on these meds. And when you hear the other details she's involved in, it's sickening.
That's the shakeout in court, though. That's not to discuss at the moment, right?
What's that?
Whatever element she was involved in, that's something that's going to shake out in a court procedure, I'm assuming.
Well, it would. I mean, the element she's involved in with Grace's care, we can talk about those details because we don't have a court case yet. So I don't have a gag order on anything that I say at this point. I just tell them the way it happened.
Yes.
And so then Jessica said to her, I'm going to take a shower. And she told Jessica, you can't take a shower here. You got to go home. And when I was in the room, they wouldn't let me leave, as I referenced before. So I showered right in the room. There's a shower right there. So now Jessica, being fearful that if she doesn't obey their commands, she's going to get kicked out like I was kicked out, goes home, takes a shower. When she comes back, she overhears two doctors and this nurse say the family's not going to like this. So she said, what aren't they going to like? And she said, or they told her, we had to restrain Grace while you're gone, which means strap her down to the bed. So she said, what's the reason? And they said, well, she wanted to get up and go to the bathroom. So they made Grace poop in the bed.
They indignified her. That's great.
That's sickening. One of the attorneys that I have a high regard for asked me if I would have been strapped down if I wanted to go to the bathroom. I said, absolutely not. I would have had the nurses help me out of bed, walk me over with the IV to the toilet, and did my business. That's what they're supposed to do.
Right.
You don't restrain somebody. And then they use that as an excuse to ratchet up the Presidex further.
So she's well enough to get up and walk on her own strength to use the bathroom in the first place. And that was not going to look good if they're trying to tell you that you can't even breathe. So God forbid you get up and actually get to go. So we're going to have to restrain you so that you can't actually do things. It's just like, hey, if you're not fitting what we're telling you, you know, the story that we're painting here, then we're just going to forcibly insert drugs and all kinds of other procedures to make sure that you do get sick enough to where you can't do anything and incapacitate you. I just can't. It makes my head explode. It's so rotten.
It gets substantially worse, and you said it right on. I mean, they're going to make this happen according to a narrative regardless. And that attorney, when he asked me that question that Sunday, God gets me up at 3 o'clock in the morning when he wants me to do something. So I went through all the doctor's records that day, which is 22 different doctor's reports, looking for Down syndrome. And they referenced the fact that Grace had Down syndrome 36 different times in 22 reports. So just think that through. That gives you some insight as to, was Grace taken out because she was disabled? And I've got a lot of evidence. It's on the website as far as
they were discriminating.
As why I believe genocide was the ultimate motivation behind this, but it isn't even genocide. It is so.
It's like medical inquisition almost, you know?
It's real stuff. So now they use that as an excuse to ratchet up the precedent, as I said. And then instead of waiting for Grace's numbers to rebound, which the attending nurse told the ICU nurse to wait, she wouldn't wait. So now they put the feeding tube in, and then they ratchet up the Presidex to max dose. So at 10:48 in the morning on Grace's last day, she's at max dose Presidex. So they knocked her out. This is used to put people out before surgery. So Grace is not completely knocked out. She never woke up after that. But in spite of her being knocked out, they now give her another drug because that wasn't enough. They gave her lorazepam at 11:25. Then at 5:46, they gave her another dose of lorazepam, 5:49, another dose. And then at 6:15, they gave her a 2 milligram dose of morphine as an IV push. So now she's got all three of these meds in her system, which we have an intensivist who wrote me that said the meds killed your daughter. The doctor who reviewed the original reports with us wrote me and said, yeah, this is so egregious, it's not even a matter of question. You know, it's intentional. It has to be intentional. Because you can't give that combination of meds to people. The package insert for morphine says specifically to not combine those meds because it causes death. And it also says that the reversal drug needs to be bedside and you need to monitor the patient. After they gave Grace the morphine, no nurse stepped foot in that room until after Grace died. She died at 7:27, an hour and 15 minutes later. Nobody came in the room. Jessica went out after she felt Grace getting cold. She went out and asked the ICU nurse to come and do a temperature on Grace because she feels cold. She wouldn't do it. She said, that's normal. Just cover her with a blanket. Wow. Jessica called Cindy and I at 7:20 on a FaceTime call, panicking. She said, Dad, Grace's numbers are dropping like crazy. And I said, get the nurses in. She said, they won't come in. She estimated 30 nurses in the hallway at this point because of shift change. So Cindy and I start hollering, save our daughter. They holler back, she's DNR, do not resuscitate. We said, she's not DNR, save our daughter. They would not do it. They would not give her the reversal drug. So we watched her die on FaceTime at 7:27. During that time, Jessica then ran out into the hall to find out what's going on. And one of the nurses had the DNR order right up on her computer screen and read it off to her and said, the doctor put a DNR order on it. We can't do anything about it. That's all illegal.
How could a doctor make that decision for the family?
If they want to, if they believe they're above the law.
Right.
That's how.
It was never discussed with you.
They think they have immunity. Say that again?
That way it was never discussed with you. It was never something that was even a part of the equation, never even mentioned, but they decided a life and death decision on so first they cause it, and then they say, well, I mean, we put all this effort into it. We're definitely not going to reverse it. That's exactly right. Evil.
We found out through a second records request when the medical malpractice nurse, she reviewed the records that I had, which I thought was everything. And she said, there's at least 1,000 pages missing. So we did another request. We got 948 pages more. In those records are the smoking gun, which at 10:56 is when the doctor put the order on. Remember, she was on max dose Presidex at 10:48. One of the attorneys who looked at it said, well, that was their way to cover their rear end because they thought they're going to be able to take Grace out with the Presidex. But Grace survived it. So then they kept doing more meds until they finally were able to take her out.
None of this even resembles trying to make somebody get better from something. It's all deliberately quite the opposite. So why are people not seeing this? And why isn't there, you know, like a stupid picture in my mind of like, you know, people with pitchforks and torches, tiki torches running towards the castle. But I mean, quite literally, why isn't there an uproar about this? This is happening not just to somebody that is distant and far away. This is happening in your neighborhood. This is happening. If you have hospitals in your town, this is happening. And this is, what are you going to wait till it's your time before you do something about it? By then it's too late because you didn't garner the support of the community to have, you know, a pushback. And if enough people showed up and said, this is not going to happen, there won't be any more, you know, Graces. There won't be any more of those. This would stop very quickly because the power of community would prevent this. But it would have to be people being aware of what's going on and caring, because this detachment is part of the problem here, I think, is that you can hear all these stories and it's just like, okay. And then 10 minutes later, they walk on and they do something else. It's like, you don't understand. Yeah. This didn't go away because you stopped thinking about it. You know, this is a real thing. And if this was my daughter, I'm guaranteeing you, I would be in jail right now. And there would be stacks of people buried somewhere. But because this is just insane, the amount of this is evil. This is just pure. It's wrong. It's soulless. It's insensitive. It's uncaring. It's definitely not any. It doesn't even resemble what a doctor is in our mind supposed to do, which is
right.
Fix things, not make them worse. So, I mean,
I have the Hippocratic Oath posted on the website and all the violations of the Hippocratic Oath. And you mentioned about, you know, people are, you know, I think they've been conditioned to this type of thing. So then they, you know, they don't think it's going to happen to them. They think, well, it really isn't this bad. You know, this is just an exception. But they're even conditioned more. When I looked at genocide, I really zeroed in on the conditioning for genocide. So right now, 67% of Down syndrome children in the United States are already aborted. And so the mindset of a Down syndrome person is already negative. I mean, any young person who gets pregnant generally gets tested for that, and they're already conditioned that you should, you know, abort the disabled person before they're even born. So then, you know, in Grace's case, well, you know, she's a useless eater. And then look at how we treat the elderly. You know, the idea of nursing homes, I mean, that's a relatively new phenomenon. Oh, you know, so what do we do when somebody gets old? You just shove them in a nursing home. Well, that isn't how it was designed. But people have been conditioned that that's what you do. I mean, they're useless at that point, so you just put them away and you don't have to visit them. You don't have to do anything.
You know, what's funny is there was a time when the people who put them in that home were also useless, and they were changing their diapers for them. So what goes around comes around. Then you take care of your parents when they're elderly. That's how that's supposed to go. You know,
right.
It's called love. It's called compassion. It's called empathy. It's called having a heart, a soul. You know, I mean, that's what's there's so many things that are wrong with our society and the insensitive decent. What I meant to say there was helpless. When you're a child, you're helpless and you need people to do things for you. I said useless because I had just heard the word useless. When we're talking about useless eaters, I didn't in any way, in any shape or form, even suggest or think that
a child is useless. They're helpless. That's why they need you. It was just a slip of the tongue. So I do apologize for that. I wasn't attempting to be insensitive at all.
Sensitization of everything. To where if they put the images out there on the television and, you know, in media and music to act a certain way, and this is like the hip way, this is what, you know, society and pop culture is, people will just roll right into it because God forbid they be seen as something other than what the norm is. And if right. And if they're going to be shown insensitivity, they're going to think that that's what they should do. And you'll see them on their Instagram accounts acting very superficial and selfish and all kinds of stuff, or very materialistic, or very into them, their own bodies and stuff like that. All things that have absolutely nothing to do with being a good human being. And right. All by design. It's just the erosion of the morality of humanity, which is awful. It's awful. There's a lot of things wrong that are, you know, maybe some things have to go away, and maybe the good people have to start repopulating. Because honestly, when you get to the point where you're having to question whether or not somebody is good enough to be around, you're sick. You're sick for doing that.
That's right on. And I just want to hit a couple other points with Grace's story, because it actually gets worse than what I said. So again, under this idea, was this premeditated? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, so you have the combination of meds, you got the DNR, and then after I took Cindy to the hospital, I couldn't come in because I had COVID. Her and Jess cleaned Grace up. Our pastor met us there, the funeral director, and then the pastor is walking Cindy out in a wheelchair, and one of the nurses had Grace's belongings on a cart, and she leaned down and said to Cindy, "Me and several of the other nurses don't think Grace should have died today." That really was important for us, because that gave us the clue that we should start searching more, start digging as to what happened. And then that later on that night, Jessica told us that there was an armed guard posted outside the room. And I say posted, so I presume to prevent any nurse with a conscience from coming in and saving Grace. So just think through that. And I say posted because after Grace died, Jessica crawled in bed with her to hold her until Cindy got there. And the armed guard stood outside the nurse's window and watched Jess the entire time.
What kind of human being is that armed guard?
I know. It's sick. I mean, that's the whole story, and I mean, we can go on any direction that you want now to talk about anything that's on your mind.
Well, I just give me a couple seconds here. Just kind of
no problem.
For everything that you've gone through, have you seen, I mean, just this loss, nothing that can happen after the fact can reverse what did happen. And I can't, like right now I'm looking down because I know I'm choking up right now, so it's hard for me to talk about this. But if this is my daughter, I can't even fathom. And at least now, through the experiences that I've had, and I was doing research a long time ago when our daughter was first about to be born, we wanted to make sure that we weren't doing dumb things as young parents. And we went through the whole thing of learning about vaccines and the whole history and how they're all bad, basically. And this is just a faulty type of medical procedure. And we actually left California because we have a business there. We left California because our first pediatrician visit was very hostile. It was very, you know, the guy was, you know, had buttons on his shirt, and he had flair on his hat, like little buttons. He was Mr. Old Granddad, funny guy, right? And then he said, "Okay, well, you know what time it is? It's time for your 2 month." And we said, "Oh yeah, no, we're not going to do that." And then his face changed, and he got very vicious. And it was at that point we said, "We're not going to put ourselves through this anymore." And California is the wrong place to fight this battle, because it's too corrupt. So we took the initiative and we moved a state away, which is 3 hours away from our business over here in Yuma, Arizona. And so far, so good. But then, we were here 4 years before this whole COVID thing happened, you know, basically. So we got out of there and we didn't have to deal with as much of the intensity of the lockdowns and stuff like that. But we already knew. So as far as that's concerned. So when we saw this other stuff happening, we were terrified. I was, as a father, scared. And then hearing these stories that are happening, it's just, there will come a time, well, when if you don't do what the doctors say, they're just going to call you an unfit parent and they're going to take things from you. And this is where we need to start right now pushing back, because if we don't, it's going to steamroll over us and it's going to be more horror than any Gestapo could ever imagine. It's going to be worse than anything that ever happened in Russia, and that was pretty awful with the Bolshevik Revolution. It's going to be worse than Mao's China. To a parent, it's going to be worse.
Right on.
So, right now, what have you taken from this event, this tragedy, and I know you have this website, and I know you're actively pursuing justice. What has happened and then transpired since October? I know these things usually roll out for years upon years, and it's going to age you, and it's going to make everything terrible. I'm sorry for that. I had my aunt stolen from me from leukemia when I was younger, like just before I hit puberty. So the trauma was deep in me, you know. She was very close to me, and she had just had her first daughter. She had three kids. She was a young mom, and they went for gallbladder. Told her she had mono for a year. And then like, okay, well, you keep coming back, so let's just cash in on her. We'll call it leukemia. And we had to watch 2.5 years as she fought through that, being poisoned, and then slowly being murdered in front of us. So I get it to an extent. I don't get it because this wasn't my daughter. I mean, but I can understand the feelings that I went through and still have. There's a reason why I'm doing these podcasts for free, you know, and not, you know, putting my own money up to tell these people, you know, show these stories. It's important that we need to wake ourselves up. We need to start understanding that we have a duty here to stop this and to protect innocent life.
Yeah, I think that's a big piece of this. We see this as a physical and a spiritual piece. So the physical piece is this duty. You know, instantly, we spent a little time researching legal right away and found out, well, it's a tough row to hoe. Thankfully, Tom Renz was introduced to us, and we think there's going to be a justice component of this. But we went into the physical piece right now because of that responsibility to get this message out. You know, we don't want our daughter's death to be in vain. And so then you got to tell the story so people wake up. And then, of course, the spiritual part of this, I mean, how did we even get here? I mean, how can a country be this screwed up? And it didn't take long, but it's because as a nation, as a world, we've rejected God. And so we see the spiritual piece of this as urgent. You know, people need to get right with God. And if this story pricks people's hearts to do that, fantastic. You know, that's God wanting to get to know you, and don't reject that call. You know, just take it serious and start digging. Find out what the truth is. The truth about what we're talking about is one thing. That's the physical truth. But what's the spiritual truth? And so we really want to have people come to grips with where they're at relative to their status before God as a sinner, and ultimately turn their lives over to the Lord. That's the two things that are motivating us doing this daily basis. You know, where this goes with the justice component, we've already said we're not going to take any money. So that isn't what's going on. If the justice component is opened up to us, which there's a whole bunch of doors opening, it's been wonderful. The purpose of the justice component is going to be to see if we can stop this behavior expeditiously. And, you know, that's a way to get hospitals to pay attention, is if there's a lawsuit that you win on a national case, they're going to pay attention to that way more than working decades with lawmakers who don't care to put laws in place that are never followed anyway. So that's what we're working on. The more exciting piece is a foundation. So we started a non-for-profit that we had our first planning meeting today, And that's where we really see this heading. When after Grace died, before we realized the story was going to get traction, we just thought, well, boy, we had our whole estate going to Grace. What are we going to do now? And so my wife and I thought, well, we should start a charitable foundation so that we can help other kids who weren't as financially blessed as we have been to do some neat things like we were able to do with Grace. And so that kind of got put on hold with all this, sharing the story. But, that's going to start getting traction here soon, which is neat. We have the first we're going to be doing this for all kids, but it just so happens we met a Down syndrome girl, and their family wants a three-wheel bike for her to ride in the summer. She's the same age as Grace, 19, and so we're going to be providing that as our first opportunity with the foundation, which is pretty cool.
That's great. You said something that really really touched me, and you said if this pricks your heart, that's God wanting to get to know you. I don't think I've ever heard a more beautiful sentence in my life, and I thought that was really it grabbed my attention really, really hard, and I really appreciate that I've gotten a chance to meet you today, sir.
I'm humbled by the opportunity, Daniel. I mean, I know you call me sir out of respect, and that's a very kind thing to do. But I mean, this is God's plan, not mine, and I am so thankful for anybody that's willing to have me on.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And I'm going to be sharing this far and wide. It's going to be a part of the, I have a 3-hour radio show tomorrow. So that's going to be, this is going to be, in there as well as, an interview I had earlier with Dr. Artis. So it's all going to the same cause. It was basically, hey, get up off your butts, guys, because this is coming for you if you keep sitting around. You know, they're not slowing down. If there's no accountability and there's no pushback, what is their motivation to stop?
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Dr. Artis is a great man. I really enjoy him. I've got to know him, I have a lot of respect for him. So that's neat. It's an honor to be on the same program as him.
Absolutely. And when you said there's, you know, so I guess maybe I would, there's two different thoughts I had. So if there is a legal battle, would it be more for criminal aspects to put people accountable rather than a lawsuit? Or is the lawsuit going to just go to the nonprofit if anything does come to fruition? So that's actually not, when you say you're not taking it, it's because you're giving it back type of thing.
No, that's a great question. So let me dissect that because that has a lot longer answer. It's not a simple one. So criminal, we can't do on our own. So that has to be started by the district attorney's office.
That's going to be tough. They're going to recover for one another.
Well, I understand. So I'm not at liberty to talk about that on the air. The three legal pieces. So there's, the DNR. Obviously that's a civil case because that was illegal. That's pretty cut and dry. So that's one piece. Then the malpractice piece is a lot tougher, even though it's pretty clear when you see that combination of meds. But a malpractice case is another angle. It's extremely hard, especially in Wisconsin, because Grace was an adult. And so to have a claim for malpractice, it actually has to be her estate. And it's a pain and suffering claim that's based on the malpractice. So that's a little bit tougher, but that's also open yet. And then the third one would be the disability rights violation. And so then when we say we're not going to take any money, I'm talking about relative to not just us personally, but for the foundation too. And the reason is because if Grace's case, what I see happening is it's going to be used as a test case. And so as a national test case, once that shakes out, whatever money there would be can get rolled in to help other people with other cases. And so that's what I've committed to Tom Renz,
right,
is that the shakes out. I mean, I'm all in on working with him. And so if that's how we go, I mean, that's what I've committed to do because it's right. You know, we don't deserve any money here. That's not the goal.
Right. And I think there's, I mean, anytime you set a precedence like that, like that's the, you're on top of the mountain and you push the little snowball and then here comes a big giant snowball coming down. So they're going to do everything they can to fight this because once one chink in their armor occurs, then everybody who has heartache is going to be able to do something and get some kind of, you know, justice out of this, hopefully. So this is gonna be a tough one. If you're spearheading this, then my God, sir, you are a warrior. It's gonna be.
Well, again, it's not me. I mean, I have to give 100% credit to God. And I mean, all these people he's introduced us to, it just, you know, how can you take money when we didn't do it?
Right.
You know, this doesn't make sense. You know, we can help a lot of other people who have, there's cases that are worse than Grace's, and we can help those people get justice also by rolling it back in to a lot bigger cause.
Yeah, well, I certainly appreciate your time. I know you've had a very, very long day. If there's anything else you would like to lead out with or anything, obviously there's a couple different sites and the nonprofit that you have going on. I'm not sure if there's specific information you want to share with that. But I will also, you know, I've been writing notes, so I will be putting this into the descriptions, too, for when it gets distributed and things like that. But whatever else you want to talk about, if I miss something, please tell me.
Yeah, so the nonprofit, once that gets rolling, we'll be doing separate press releases. And,
okay.
And on the nonprofit, we're just because we had our first organizational meeting today, I just thought I would bring it up. But the thing that I would leave everybody with is urgency. This is urgent.
Thank you.
This isn't something to be joking around about. If just on a physical level, you need to check out your local hospitals to find out if they've been bought by the government before you have an emergency. And start with a position of distrust versus trust. There's good ones out there, but you've got to search for them. For some reason, the majority of the system has gone bad. So don't assume it was like 50 years ago. It's the same things happening in the public school system. So people are more familiar with that, you know, they're teaching, you know, there's umpteen different ways that there's boys and girls. I mean, I don't get it. I mean,
and
critical race theory. So people are familiar with that and they're up in arms, but some people are not up in arms. Some people think it's okay, which that really is strange. But this, what's happened with the public school system is also happening with the hospital. And you've just got to come to that perspective first. It's a new paradigm. The old way that, you know, the doctor's your friend and you can trust him.
TV, television does a lot to make people think a certain way too, because all it is a bunch of heroes on television in these dramatic stories about their personal lives, and it's pumped into your head all the time that these guys are superior to me, these are doctors, they know everything, they go around and they save lives. So when you go to an actual doctor yourself, you're not getting the same thing that you saw on TV. So I hope everybody understands that.
That's right on. Great way to frame it.
Right. Well, sir, I appreciate your time. And like you said, urgency is the key here. We've had 150 years to try to solve what happened after the end of the Civil War, basically, and the reconstructing of our society under a whole different method and system where there was no consent of the governed anymore, because that's what happens when you secede. But yeah. I mean, we've had a long, long time to and seen a whole lot of things happening, you know. And the erosion and the giving away of rights here and there, a little bit here, a little bit there. Well, now it's all come to fruition to where it's now a big, big problem, and we can't keep doing nothing. And that's the main message here, I think, would be, like you said, urgency. We have to be active. Each one of us has a duty. And if we want to preserve even that sense of what we think we live in, even if we don't actually live in that type of society, if we want that, we can create it. We just have to do it. We can't wait for some other politician to do it for us, because that's not how it works. It has to come from the people. That was the whole design of a constitutional republic, was the people had to put people in check when they weren't doing what they were supposed to do for the people. And obviously, that's gone by the wayside a long time ago. So, sir,
absolutely right on. You summarized it perfectly.
Yes. Scott, It's been a pleasure, and I hope we can do this again sometime. I look forward to hearing good things happen, and I will be sharing your message and looking at your websites myself personally, and if I can think of other people that will be you know, pioneers or champion this in any way, I will make sure I send them your direction.
Oh, that would be fantastic, Daniel. Thank you very much for having me.
And God bless you and your family, sir.
Same to you.
Bye.
Live streaming has stopped.
Sorry about that part. It's a little loud.
Yeah, thank you, Daniel. I really appreciate it.
You got it, sir. It was very nice. And if you ever want to do this again, just talk to Christina. She'll get in touch with me.
All right. Will do.
Later.
Bye.
And I think that's it. I thought there was a little bit more, but I guess not. I'm just going to go ahead and just X out of this one. Okay, guys. So that was video one, right? And that was the interview with Scott Shera, and his daughter Grace was the topic. And if you want, we can actually, let's do this. Now, I'm going to say this. There's a sensationalization when it comes to people who have a more commercial platform than I do. I do this pro bono based on my own ability and income to do this, right? So when you see me doing this stuff, it's a lot less, there's a lot less bells and whistles. It's not as produced. And that might be wholesome, but sometimes it doesn't grab people's attention as much. I hope this particular episode does at least touch your heart and motivate you to share this with other people, because again, what we're doing here is trying to save the republic. We're trying to save our families. We're trying to protect the innocent. Okay, this is not just a game. This isn't just infotainment. Please understand that. Please understand that what I'm doing here is different, and it's not. And as I say this, I'm getting set up here to actually show you a Stu Peters clip. And that's why I'm making the differentiation here. I'm not saying anything bad or negative about Stu. I'm just, if I had a guest on like that, I don't know if I would have my flashy introduction. I think I would have just scaled it back. You know what I mean? Because it's just, it makes things that are supposed to be substantial seem a little bit artificial. And I don't particularly go that direction when I do my introductions and production. So let me just go ahead and open up. Everything fell down when I had to. Let's see, everything has to be reduced. There's like 50 different screens. All right, so I got to get back into Real Player here, and Real Player has the Stu Peters interview that he did. So you might hear a little bit of the same thing, but I think it's important to hear the brief summary of what just happened, what we were just talking about too. So this is the Stu Peters video that I'm playing right now. And it's, again, this is Scott Shera, and this is when I first had heard of this story. So let me go ahead and go put this back in display capture, and let's play this real quick. Here it comes.
Well, over the past week, we have been focusing on how abusive these hospitals are, mistreating and killing, arguably torturing and executing unvaccinated COVID patients who come into their care. We've been following Scott Quiner in Minnesota all week. We also just told you about Charles Hughes in West Virginia. That case is ongoing, and now here is another. Scott Shera is the father of a 19-year-old daughter with Down syndrome, Grace, who he believes was murdered, killed by her hospital. Grace had COVID, but even then, Scott says she would have been fine. He believes that she was killed by a combination of questionable medications given to her by hospital staff. Grace was labeled as a DNR, do not resuscitate, against her family's wishes, and then was overdosed on a combination of Presidex, lorazepam, and morphine, all within a 30-minute period. Scott joins us now. Scott, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Stu.
Lorazepam and morphine, all within a 30-minute window, sounds like something somebody would take to intentionally kill themselves.
Well, when you study those meds, you see that in fact, would be the case. And as the doctor that we're working with to make some sense out of this, I'll just read what she wrote because it does better than what I can do. She said, These meds, so the three that you just mentioned on their own, have an increased risk of serious life-threatening breathing problems and cardiac arrest, and there's an additive effect when used in combination. To use them like they did in a person with a diagnosis of acute respiratory distress is beyond believable as to intention.
So when Grace went to the hospital, did she go there because she was having issues breathing? Did they want to ventilate her? Take us through that process. And by the way, where was this? What hospital was this at and what city and state?
This was at St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Appleton, Wisconsin.
Okay. Right next door to us here in Minnesota. So take us through how all this came about.
Well, we were on the frontline doctor's protocol relative to COVID. We did a home test for COVID on Grace on October 1st. She started having symptoms around the 28th of September. And so we were following the protocol she was on, ivermectin. We had a nebulizer. So everything seemed to be going fine. And then around day 8, maybe it was day 9, we were testing her oxygen consistent with the protocol, and we couldn't maintain her oxygen above 90 oxygen saturation, so we took her to urgent care, which that led to the emergency room because the blood work in urgent care showed she had a high D-dimer. And just a quick side note on that type of situation, there is a small percentage of the population, and I was in that same percentage. I ended up in the hospital 3 days after Grace died, that even if you're doing everything perfect relative to the preventive protocol, or the protocol from frontline doctors, you can still end up in the hospital because of certain microclotting and inflammation that happens in a small percentage of people. So we ended up in the emergency room. They did a CT scan to see if there was clotting, and that came back negative. So that was fortunate, but then they recommended that we check her into the hospital. And, you know, if I knew today, or I knew then what I know today, of course, we wouldn't have checked Grace into the hospital because she could have came home by them prescribing oxygen and she would have made it through this. We know a lot more today is the bottom line.
So have you talked with an attorney about looking into this? I know that you said that you've spoken with another independent doctor who has advised you. Have you lawyered up? Are you going to be going after this hospital?
And let me just say, the date on this could be incorrect because this is somebody's repost of the Stu Peters show, but it is at least as far back as back in January. So many things have happened in the last 5 months. So whatever he's talking about, as far as, you know, we just discussed that this is more of an update. The previous video interview that I did with him where he's talking about the nonprofit and all these things, that's the more up-to-date. So what Stu Peters is asking about, you know, have you lawyered up and all this other stuff, he's well down that road now, just so you're aware that he is very actively pursuing this.
In Wisconsin.
Outstanding question. We've talked with a couple of attorneys, and you can't believe this, but Wisconsin state statute does not allow a claim. Grace was 19, so she was an adult, and to have a claim, you need to Grace would have had to have been under 18 or under, or have children or be married. Otherwise, there's no claim.
Hold on a minute. There's no exception for a person who has to be looked after even as an adult because of a mental health diagnosis?
Unfortunately, no. It's called loss of companionship, and by state statute, there's no loss of companionship.
Well, that needs to change immediately. That's ridiculous. That needs to be looked at by this governor, Evers, this communist over here in Wisconsin. That needs to be changed immediately. That is absolutely asinine. I have a Down syndrome aunt who has passed on, Jeannie. She needed constant care throughout her entire adult life. You know, high-functioning people, very smart people, but they need to be looked after, not capable of making decisions on their own. And when left alone or unsupervised or in the hands of somebody who you believe that you can trust, which is a hospital, because like you said, you didn't know then what you know now. This is all just now coming out that this is being done in lockstep, for nefarious and what appears to be diabolical reasons. That needs to change. That really shocks me. So these attorneys have advised you that you can't do anything. We're going to ask Tom Renz about it anyways. There has to be something that can be done here. And so we're going to talk to him about this.
Yeah, it actually gets worse than the loss of companionship claim, because what about the malpractice claim? So we have talked with what we learned was maybe the best attorney in the state. And he told us that even in slam dunk cases like this appears to be, that there's only a 1 in 10 chance. And the reason there's only a 1 in 10 chance is these doctors circle the wagons around their own, and you just can't win. And there's a limit to the liability regardless of $350,000. Well, you know, that is for an organization like Ascension, that's a 142 hospital organization. That doesn't do anything, assuming you even win.
I don't even want to call them doctors, but did these people at this, I don't even want to call it a hospital, did these people in this death camp explain to you at all why they would use Precedex, lorazepam, and morphine all within a 30-minute window? Did they explain? How do they justify that?
Well, it's pretty crazy when you think about it, because that morning, Grace's last day was October 13th. At 8 o'clock in the morning, the doctor called us and told us how great of...
All right, we got to stop right there. October 13th was her last day. Now, I'm not sure if this was deliberate or not, but knowing that the doctors, many of these doctors are in these little fraternities, do you know what the significance of October 13th? Does anybody know what the significance of October 13th is? That was the Friday the 13th, originally, was the day that they rounded up the Templars and started burning them at the stake. Jacques de Molay, one of the key components of the Templar Knights, was executed that day by being burned at the stake for heresy, and the rest of them were being rounded up on October 13th. So that is very strange that October 13th, Friday the 13th, I'm not saying that it was a Friday when it happened here, because you know how calendar cycle, but when it happened to the Templars, that's why we have a Friday the 13th, and that's why that even is a thing in our culture. It's because of that particular instance when they went after the Templars. And if you know anything about the Templars and how they're related to the Freemasonic Order, and how brotherhoods and Ivy League schools where a lot of these doctors graduate from, it starts to paint a strange picture, doesn't it? A lot of coincidences there. I'm just going to say that because I find that a little alarming that there was a rush that day, that moment, to do this to her. It's like whenever there's like energetic magic going on, they need things like this to they need the trauma, the sacrifice, and all this other stuff for these types of rituals. And all people in those fraternal orders do their part to add to that energetic frequency. And it doesn't matter what you believe. If they believe it and they're the ones in charge, it will affect you.
A day Grace had the day before, which we knew because her sister Jessica was in as an advocate. And so then he said, because she was doing so well, I think we should do a feeding tube. So we agreed to the feeding tube, and all the while they're ratcheting up this Precedex as a sedative. So Grace was getting more and more out of it. They claim that the reason that they did the morphine at the end was because she was breathing at 51 breaths a minute. So they were using the morphine to slow the breathing down. But when you look at what they were doing with the other meds, you know, they were trying to slow something down that they created. You know, it doesn't make any sense. We got a call at 6:45 p.m. then from the same doctor that also said how that Grace had a good day. And this was at 6:45. It was just a few minutes after he had just administered the morphine that killed her, 45 minutes after you're off the phone with him.
How are you doing? I mean, I...
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, it's, emotionally, I'm about 50%. Certain days, like yesterday, I sense God getting me up early and getting a lot of work done, and it's worked towards towards the situation with grace. We're working on this every single day. Certain days it's not as good as other days. Emotionally, this is tough. I mean, she was, to me, she was my best buddy. Grace was high functioning. We went deer hunting together. She could drive a car. She was just, and she had a sense of humor beyond belief. She was like an angel walking around with you. She was just a great kid. So, I mean, I miss her terribly.
Man. I'm really sorry. What's your advice for people now, knowing what you know, in this situation, who are dealing with, you know, the choice whether or not to go into the hospital when it gets tough, what to do? What have you learned that alternatives could have been in order to prevent this tragedy?
Well, first, yeah, there's several things that we've learned. First is that at any time, don't get into the mindset of trusting the white coat, because that mindset blinds you to what's happening right in front of your eyes, and it definitely blinded me. I was the advocate.
You know, Quicksilver is mercury. Mercury is what these call Quicksilver, and these people, these alchemists, these pharmakia practitioners, they are silver, silver-tongued devils. They will sweet-talk you and soft-speak you into doing horrible things. And the guy who called acting as a friend saying, hey, you know, she had a good day, let's do this other thing, that person was leading them down a very dark path.
We kept from Wednesday through Sunday before they kicked me out. And, you know, a lot of things happened. I challenged a lot of things. I got kicked out for challenging things. But still, I missed a lot because I was blinded by the white coat. I would have never thought that their agenda was to take her out. You know, that's my personal belief under the idea of allocation of care. I think you've had one of the doctors on from Truth for Health that has explained that succinctly. So the other things that we've learned would be, if you need to go to the hospital, and that's objective. So remember, in Grace's case, I don't think that was objective. So they recommended it, but I know now we could have brought her home on a prescription for oxygen and possibly a steroid if she needed that. And I believe she would have got well at home. So if you objectively need to go to the hospital, make sure that you have an advocate. You're entitled to an advocate, and don't ever get into that room without an advocate. We were there, myself and then my daughter Jessica, after I got kicked out, and look what happened. So think about what happens if there's not an advocate in that room. So you've got to have an advocate.
Yeah, and then we're going to be talking to a few of them. One of them, Priscilla, who has been a huge, huge integral part of a critical part of getting Scott Quiner from Minneapolis down to Texas. I'm sure that you've been following that story. We're going to talk to Annie Quiner and get an update from Scott Quiner here shortly as well. Scott, we so much appreciate you coming here and having the bravery and the courage and I don't know how you mustered the strength to come and talk to us, but it's very important that you do that and that you keep talking so that people understand exactly what it is that's going on here in these so-called hospitals with these so-called doctors. Thank you very much. God bless you. We'll be praying for you.
Thank you, Stu.
All right. Well, there's that. And when we come back from the break, which is in about 6 minutes, we'll be 5 minutes, actually. We'll be going into the Dr. Artis interview. And let me just take a look real quick. Maybe we can start it now. Let's have a look. We got a couple minutes. Feels like a cracking. Let's see if I can figure out where the heck I just put it. See, everything gets a little jumbled when you're... There you go. All right, so this is Dr. Artis on with me and Josh from Josh UTV, the guy who created Josh UTV. Yesterday, we were discussing some things that are quite pertinent. We're probably not going to get a chance to go through all of it today. But if you guys on the podcast stick around after I exit stage left on the radio show, you'll be able to hear me because I'm going to continue on and finish it out. All right, here we go.
Live streaming is on.
There we go. Well, good morning, everybody. We have another two special guests today. We have Dr. Brian Artis is back with us to talk a little bit more. We had a nice conversation last time. For those of you who have not seen it, Go check out Josh's. Josh whittled it down, so it's basically the presentation that I made. It's on BitChute. It's got like 4,000 or 5,000 views on it already. Last time I checked, it was close to 10,000. I think it was over 7. And a couple little turds, but that's just how it works, right? and then also, what do you call it? We have Josh here from the creator of the platform that we're actually streaming on right now, the code writing genius that he is. That's Josh from Josh UTV. And he's also going to possibly be interviewing with, who's that? Tell me. Tell us.
Max Dr. Egan? Artist.
Well, Max Egan too, right?
Oh, Max Egan, yeah. I'm waiting for Max Egan to reply. I guess he had email problems, but yeah, that was eventually. Eventually, yes.
All right, guys, so let's get rolling into this. Dr. Artist, is there anything specifically that you wanted to talk about? Because I know you said you had a bunch of different things coming out in the next couple of weeks that you wanted, if there's anything you wanted to, you know, start off us with. Otherwise, I got some stuff prepared here I can talk about as well. And
we can talk about anything. But any questions you got, I'd love to answer those. And then it can be very organic.
All right. So I was talking back and forth with Christina, and she's a wonderful human being, by the way, from what I gather from emails. And she has said that she happened to mention, you know, I just had randomly thought because my neighbor, he's a little boy, right? Little kids are supposed to be rubber. They should bounce off of things and have no problem. He just put his hands out to brace a fall, and he broke his wrist. And I noticed somebody in my daughter's gymnastics class, same type of deal. They teach you how to fall, but she didn't quite do it right when she was on the beam. She broke her arm, but she, like, obliterated her arm. And this brittle – this seems like this is a very common thing now, that there's a lot of brittle bone. And she just happened to tell me that you had a pediatrician that you were talking to on your show that very day that I was asking her these questions. And what it had boiled down to is that you guys were contemplating or at least theorizing that it could have been additional EMR or EMF that's causing this to happen. Do you want to talk about that a little bit, or is that something that
– No, we can talk about that. There's a couple things actually in relationship to surrounding the last 2.5 years of this pandemic that goes along with brittle bone issues with ligaments and tendon tears for a lot of athletes. I did have a pediatrician in my office the other day when you guys were communicating about that. They are actually seeing a ton of reported breaks of bones in children that they're not used to seeing from simple falls. And she's convinced that the 5G radiation is actually in the microwaves emitted from those are depleting mineral complexes of bone.
And this is the real thing, because I've actually looked this up. That can very easily happen. So that's not far-fetched at all.
No, no, it's not. And but she's concerned about the 5G aspect and the microwaves emitted and the EMFs emitted by these and its impact on the health of the children. And it's actually on all adults, too. It makes you deplete metal.
All right. We'll be back after the break.
Junkie, I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, number one listener supporter radio, the printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
The mind and the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart. You can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the game to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rick, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
All right. Well, unfortunately, I don't share that other gentleman's enthusiasm when it comes to someone taking down the deep state, as it was said. But here, let's before we go any further, I'm going to continue this interview with Dr. Artis here in just a second. But Revolution Radio is 100% listener-supported. Go to revolution.radio. You click the banner where it says donation. You'll see a list of options to where you can help support the station's overhead so that we can continue to supply you with the information that you need to make better decisions, safer decisions, and to protect and preserve and restore this constitutional republic that we have here. Okay? We still have it because it's written down, okay? The only thing that people need to understand is that papers need to be enforced. They don't do it on their own. It's just a piece of paper without our help, without our energy and our effort It's just a piece of paper. You have to do something. That is what the people's responsibility and duty has always been since day one. That's always how it was intended. What kind of government did they give us? A republic, if you can keep it. Those should echo in your head all the time, those words. Okay, other thing too, we'll get to the end of that, but Ballbusters is also 100% listener supported as well. So if you go into the description, you'll find a link for TippyStream, and you'll also find a link for the t-shirts. I know people are buying them because I'm seeing the notifications, so thank you for that. It's pretty awesome to know that other than myself, there's other people out there who are wearing the Ballbusters logo. And this isn't about me. This is about, like I said in the book that's upcoming and what's on my Instagram, we're trying to create a world where criminals and child harmers run for their lives rather than for office. And that is everybody's responsibility and duty to be a part of. All right? So let's get back into this little amazing interview we have here. And pull this up.
It directly impacts metals, which are called minerals. So I don't know if you know this, but just from a conceptual standpoint, so you get it. The bone in your body is primarily made up of calcium. Calcium mm-hmm. is a mineral. It is a metal. So is magnesium. Magnesium mm-hmm. is responsible for keeping calcium in the bone to improve bone density. And magnesium is a metal that's actually depleted, destroyed by 5G radiation, electromagnetic fields, and venom, and viruses. So it actually makes you shed zinc. It makes you shed magnesium and copper, which can lead to, whenever you start losing minerals, you start having massive impacts on bone, hormone balance, mental function and acuity. And then tendons and ligaments become more brittle, and they will actually tear easier, which we're seeing with a lot of adults and adolescents.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's a rough thing, because I believe magnesium is also directly related to fatigue, is it not? Like you can right. experience that if you have either too much or not enough, I think, when it comes to magnesium.
Yeah, the majority of the world is deficient in magnesium, and if you want to prevent heart attacks, arrhythmias, strokes, migraine headaches, insomnia, osteoporosis, you need to be on magnesium, and the minimum that all human beings need to be on is 500 milligrams a day, period.
Let me just also say this, too, when it comes to magnesium and other essential minerals, when you eat sugar, sugar is a poison. Insulin is there, too. The reason why they say it's the preferred, like glucose is the preferred energy, that's not because it's the preferred energy. Fat, your own fat, the fat that's stored in your body, the fat that's in your diet, that's the preferred energy. But sugar is a poison. So insulin is released to counteract and get it out of your system and store it in cells and store it in your fat tissue as quickly as possible, because it is detrimental to your body. This idea that, you know, eating sugars and stuff like that is just commonplace is something that's been introduced into our culture, into our society, and into our world. This is why I'm saying, because when you take these sugars in, they literally sap and take away much of your minerals. So if you're eating a sugary diet, there's another reason why you're deficient.
Every day for the rest of your life.
And there's seven different forms, right? Is that important to be on the, like, have that's what do you call it, that spectrum of different types of magnesium? Like, there's L3 and 8, which I believe is good.
It's like L3. More absorbed. Yeah. L3 and 8 is a version that's been studied widely to cross the blood-brain barrier to improve cognitive function and sleep and melatonin production. So that's a form, L3 and 8. There's also other forms. My wife actually does the best with Orotate. So we actually buy powdered versions of Orotate. We make our own capsules with it, and she takes hers own every day. I actually do just fine with magnesium citrate, which is the cheapest and the most well-studied version for the last 100 years. But I actually would just suggest try magnesium in any form. Get at least 500 milligrams every day.
It's something that will easily absorb it. It's not something your body rejects.
Nope. Everybody's body requires magnesium even to function. So, you can take it in a supplement form, in a capsule, in a powder form.
Nice.
It doesn't matter. Or in a liquid form even. So, yeah, yes, magnesium deficiency is number one cause of disease worldwide.
I find it funny that a lot of the supplements that when they throw. And then just to I don't want to glance over that. We were pressed for time because we only have an hour with Dr. Artis. So, when he said magnesium deficiency is one of the number one causes of disease worldwide, pay attention to that because that's a key thing. If you don't have it, don't go looking around for, you know, invisible boogeyman viruses to be the reason why you're not feeling well. Bunch of stuff in there because the terrain is everything, right? If you have a strong terrain, you don't get the illness that is floating around. Because it's like marketing stuff. A lot of the stuff, like, because they're both in the present at the same time, they kind of like neutralize each other. And that people don't get that because of the chemistry involved in it. It's like they just gave you an inert product, but they charge you $50 a bottle for it because all these things counteract with one another. And then there's an absorption rate. Like with creatine monohydrate, just something I happen to know about, but it's like you take out, you have to load it before it starts to actually start doing anything. But if you take like the HCL, then it's fine because it gets right to you. So there's all different types of forms, and that's why that's important.
Money is actually poisoned, like every single practice of medicine. It really has.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like you will never find an actual drug without other, you know, stuff that they purposely put in it just because it's a part of their buddies and they have to make money off that too. So we're going to insert these other ingredients that have nothing to even do with it.
Yeah,
very true.
Like petroleum, for example. So,
Well,
like
that's
fossil fuels in your drugs. Like we all need those in our body.
Yeah,
that's what Standard Oil was all about. I mean, they took over the. You know,
we're all deficient in petroleum.
It's amazing what they try to. It's amazing what they sell us.
So with zinc and like potassium, like what are the signs of not having enough of that?
All right, so zinc's a great one. So zinc deficiency, which is created by COVID, it's created by venom, it's created by viruses, it's created by you not eating zinc-rich foods, vegetables, beefs. If you don't eat those things, you're not getting a lot of zinc anyway. Zinc deficiency leads to hormone imbalance. If you want to look at the world as a whole, estrogen dominance is created by zinc deficiency. So males who develop prostate issues, they are zinc deficient and estrogen dominant. All females who develop breast cancer, ovarian cancer, uterine cancer, osteoporosis, you're all zinc deficient and you're estrogen dominant as a result. All of you are. If you have any.
For all those bodybuilders out there who want to maintain and build muscle, don't allow your estrogen levels to spike. Take the zinc.
Any of those diseases and you've been diagnosed with them, you were zinc deficient, you need to start taking zinc. Zinc, also, if you want to know if you're deficient, period. Look at teenagers. Teenagers who break out with acne, all of them are zinc deficient, all of them. Hmm. And that's what's driving their estrogen dominance to make more oils and pus in the skin to lead to acne formation. I know a ton about that.
He knows a ton about that, guys, because if you go to the Dr. Artist show or if you go to his Instagram for the Dr. Artist, or I don't know, I think it's just Dr. Artist, but or Dr. Brian Artist, but that is where you'll find his supplements. He was a chiropractor, retired, and he has a line of skincare products and also vitamins that he's referring to right now. So these are things that you can get from him directly, and it'll help his cause to get this information out that he's doing to help prevent more people from getting harmed by these protocols. So if you're going to buy it anyway, get it from Dr. Artis.
Zinc deficiency is also correlated to hospitalization and death from COVID. The lower the zinc levels, just so you know, venom, the aspect of COVID we've talked about here, the venoms actually attack and destroy and deplete zinc reservoirs in the body. And then copper's number two. Those two, when you shred them out of the body, copper's deficiency leads to expansion of your blood vessels. That's called aneurysms. And then they hemorrhage and you stroke out and bleed out to death. That's the hemorrhaging effect of venoms that actually makes you deplete copper. So there is a zinc to copper ratio. Most people should be supplementing zinc and copper every day of their life, but it's much more zinc than it is copper. Dr. Ryan Cole the other day on a call recommended
Dr. Ryan Cole's cool. I like him.
He recommended to medical doctors on the call. He said, I'll recommend 20 milligrams of zinc, and for every 20 milligrams of zinc, take 1 milligram of copper. That is not my recommendations. That's his. I actually think you can do a whole lot more zinc than that. I recommend 50 milligrams of zinc twice a day at a minimum for most people.
And for those of people who don't know who Dr. Ryan Cole is, he is basically coming from the perspective of witnessing a whole lot of cancers now because of, I guess, the treatments that they're – or the injections that we've been talking about, the nefarious injections, just a rash of – I don't know what he's on – what topic he's on currently – Dr. Ryan Cole is, but I know that he's been going around talking about the cancer and the explosion of cases that he's seen, like pretty much everybody.
Yeah, he's a pathologist out of Idaho, and he owns his own pathology lab called Cole Diagnostics.
Oh, wow.
And he has, over his career, evaluated over 500,000 patients' tissue samples under a microscope. That's his job. Damn. And he has seen an explosion of metastatic cancers from those that were in remission or actually gone and cancer-free. Now they're seeing massive amounts of metastasizing of cancers and massive amounts of blood clotting around the entire body of the vaccinated. So he's been out educating. He travels all the time. He was just here in Austin, Texas yesterday and back in Idaho today. But he's all over the place trying to save as many lives as possible and get people to understand these shots are not safe and effective.
Right.
They quite literally have said that the way these vaccines were, well, these whatever you want to call them, are supposed to work is to basically infiltrate your cells and kind of mess around with your mitochondria. But isn't that like the death of a cell? Isn't that what causes cancer? Isn't that what causes irregularities and, you know, mutations? Is somebody messing with the mitochondria, the powerhouse of the cell?
Any irritation, anything that could irritate it could cause
inflammation. Inflammations, for sure, yeah. That's why you don't stay away from omega-6s. But okay, let me just scroll down this list here because the reason why I started my channel in the first place was because I was reading a bunch of books on – well, first the Fed. I mean, the Secrets of the Federal Reserve, Eustace Mullins, you got to have that one in there. And then, you know, Age of Reason by Thomas Paine. And then I started getting into the I picked up a book called Illuminati Unmasked. I thought it was going to be a joke, right? I thought this whatever. And it was about the Jesuits. And you just kind of goes right along with what you're saying. This is why I started my channel, because I'm like, my God, there's so many connections here. And it goes so far back, and it's what I was saying is, look, like history is like a blueprint of the present. It shows the structure of how things all fit together. So if you have an understanding of that, you don't get so surprised and, you know, flip your head and say, there's no way this is like this, and they couldn't all be. That's
right.
Really not that hard to figure out that it could very well be that way.
Right.
You know, all you need is a couple of key players in the right spots and the rest of people follow them. So it's not really like this widespread thing that everybody has to know about.
Yeah, I always tell the people that are so, you know, so hard to believe anything. I always tell them, you know, try to wrap your mind around Jeffrey Dahmer or Ted Bundy. Can you make sense of what they did? I mean, I don't think you're supposed to. So why do you think you're going to make sense of this?
Yeah. Putting body parts in a fridge, your own fridge in your kitchen. Can you imagine doing that? Like, it doesn't even compute for anything logical or normal.
Exactly. So it's like, why would anybody expect, you know, something like this to? So it makes it's weird that that's the argument. They go, why would someone do that?
What makes sense out of a psych? How do you make sense of a psychopath? I have no idea.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
I've gone pretty deep into this, like, for the longest time, just the Jesuits alone and, you know, knowing how the Vatican operates and, like, how Vatican II and all these other, you know, nefarious plots behind them, how they're tied into the United Nations and the CFR, the Club of Rome, all this stuff, notwithstanding. And then I come to find out that Ignatius of Loyola, he was a Murano. Before I say this, I just want people to understand this is not a condemnation of anybody or any type of person. It's just that certain people in every walk of life happen to be bad or they happen to be good. Muranos were trying to escape the Spanish Inquisition, so they became what are known as crypto Jews. They were pseudo Christians. Ignatius was one of those people. There was something called the El Umbrato, which is like the precursor to the Illuminati that he was involved in. I believe he was like, and then he ends up becoming the high general of the Jesuits that creates this new order. After being brought in to talk to the Pope, God knows what they talked about, but he walked out as a general of the assassins for the Pope after that. So that's literally what the Society of Jesus is. So it is a militant branch, just like the Knights of Malta, and all these connections have a meaning and a purpose in reality in present day. It's not just some old cool club that, you know, guys go to hang out. It's not the Elks Club.
No. You know, in order to get a lot of people to do your biddings, you gotta get them to believe something, and you gotta get them to follow something. And that's what these cults do. And they've been doing it for a long, long time. I mean, you can't just get anybody to do your bidding without them actually thinking there's a higher purpose at the end.
Okay, so the question I have for you, Dr. Artis, are you familiar with a Dr. Rima Libo?
Yes.
Okay, and the Codex Alimentarium, the whole thing that she was talking about. Do you think any of this stuff that we're seeing is a result of them kind of turning everything upside down on its head and making nutrients bad and making poisons good and basically forcing that upon the world?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, Rima has been a great resource for the last 2 years for me. I've been on her show many times and on her podcast many times.
She's still around. See, I didn't even know that. I have to go look for her then.
Yeah, she's still around. She's interviewed me. I think the last time I was on her show was 6 months ago. But she's a great resource and has a lot of truth.
That's amazing. Okay. Now, Josh, do you have anything that you would like to ask Dr. Artis?
Oh, no. I'm so glad that I'm actually able to, finally see someone else that came to the same conclusion about nicotine. I was actually pretty, I was shocked. And I remember, when I first started telling people about it, I was showing, news articles that was coming out of Canada and stuff. They was actually doing studies on what nicotine is actually doing to what they're claiming to be COVID. And they're saying it can't survive. It just can't survive with that. Nicotine, for some reason, just kills it. Mm-hmm. And that after January, it just went silent. And I'm talking January 2020 was when these studies were coming out. And I was like, that's the most fascinating thing because I'm from a house full of smokers, I'm always sitting there going, how come I haven't been affected yet? Well, I'm watching everybody else complain about they losing their taste and smell and all this other stuff. And my dad's the same. We haven't been through any of this. So it's he got the vaccine though, unfortunately. So it's he's on the fence. So he kind of believes what the TV tells him and all that stuff. And that's, I don't know. No matter all the stuff that I assume, it's sad how much control they actually have with everybody right now.
Well, trust me. Imagine my world. I'm one of the probably international people trying to help save the planet as much as possible and make sense out of the evil side of COVID, the hospital protocols, the vaccines, bringing an awareness to the truth about what COVID is. Mm-hmm. I'm the oldest of five kids and I have my parents, mom and dad, and all four of my siblings all got the shots, all got the boosters, man. Got all their kids. So you have to understand, I haven't vaccinated any of my kids for like 20 years and my parents for like the first 10 years, tried to make me feel bad about making that choice to not vaccinate my kids, like I was endangering them or something. And I just won't do it. And
they're healthy as a horse, aren't they?
I do not believe that the risks, I do not believe the benefits of any vaccines outweigh the risks. So in my own due diligence and research, I came to my own conclusion that I was never doing this to my kids.
And that should be respected.
They've never done that research. They just sit there and accept the white coat or whatever's on TV and follow the lead. And I'm not like that. I have to know everything about anything going into my body or into my kids' bodies. It's just how I am. So
it is
very odd that you would think, I know a lot of people are shocked when I go like this. My own parents and my own siblings and all my nephews and nieces got the shots. Just me and my five kids and my wife haven't gotten them. And
we can't convince. It's a thing that we can't convince the ones closest to us of anything. It's already programmed in.
Until they have something extremely horrible happen to them, and maybe that won't even wake them up, but until they have like the death of a child or their own heart attack within a minute of getting the shots, maybe they won't be able to put two and two together. But this is an absolute fraud. The vaccine campaign needs to be stopped. It is not safe. It is super dangerous. It will cause heart attacks. It will cause you to die. It will cause neurological diseases over time. And if you don't die in the first 48 hours, which is what 50% of the people that die after these shots die in 48 hours, they consider that period unvaccinated.
Right. You have to have the 14 days because they know everybody's going to have them before that.
It's totally absurd. This is the ultimate cover-up. It's so ridiculous.
Now this is a theory that I came to a while back. And, I already assumed just looking at everything, especially when I was seeing the first mRNA flu shots being released in November 2019. We got all these videos and people of China coming out now showing them falling, collapsing, dead in the street and all that. And they're trying to say this is from COVID. So they didn't announce that they also just forced everybody in that area, Wuhan, those new mRNA flu shots. They didn't want nobody to know that part. And so what we're seeing there, and I'm trying to explain it to everybody, these are adverse reactions. This isn't a respiratory virus at all. And I said, just the way they were shaking, it looked like a neurotoxin.
And hold that thought, because what he just said is that the mRNA shots were the flu shot in Wuhan. Hold that thought, because I want to use, at the end of this, you're going to have to listen to the podcast to get this part, but there's a something about to happen right here in the United States. It's already happening. And do you think that they're done with us with the COVID? Think again. And I'm going to explain exactly how they're going to do it at the end of this.
That was my first diagnosis. I was like, this looks like a neurotoxin. And then here you are with the snake venom. I was like, it makes sense. It totally makes sense now. Totally makes sense.
It's amazing. They actually did do shots like that in China before the pandemic was ever declared. And then in India, there's a vaccine for COVID-19 called CobraVax.
That came out
3 days before the first ever reported coronavirus pandemic ever.
Wow.
Ever before it was mentioned, 3 days before that, India already said we're going to give emergency use authorization.
3 days. And more numerology for the wackos that are behind this stuff.
For CobraVax.
That
for
is
COVID-19.
Very telling. People didn't have their timelines right.
It was never even made public until 3 days later that it even existed in China. So ridiculous.
You know, India came pretty fast to finding like a way around this COVID thing. And I thought about that too, about the fact that they play with snakes. Like, this is probably something they recognize, like right off the bat. Like, these are the same symptoms of what we get when we get bit.
Yeah, check this out. Can I read a text to you I got this morning?
Yeah.
Let me read this to you. I found this hilarious. So this is a very, very big podcaster just sent this to me. I just heard an interesting story from a friend. A woman got...
I want to speculate here and say, is it Mr. Rogan? I don't know if that's true or not, but that'd be cool if it was.
COVID and has been relatively invalid since the beginning of 2020. Blood tests were awful. Recently, she got bit by a rattlesnake. She got anti-venom, and now she feels better than she has in the last 2 years after getting bitten and having the anti-venom. Blood tests are now clean.
Amazing.
We're going to interview this woman because this is a phenomenal story, but the fact that they treated her for an actual rattlesnake bite, the anti-venom took care of her COVID symptoms
That's amazing.
And then she's been down for basically 2.5 years.
She's been basically invalid is the text since the beginning of 2020 when she got COVID.
That is phenomenal.
Isn't that awesome?
Too coincidental. Way too coincidental.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny too, because I was after our last interview, I sought out the Mike Adams documentary of the three-parter. I found it all in one piece, and I watched it diligently, and all of the, like, I had all these things I was going to say to you when we first talked, and I was like, I'm glad I didn't now, because everything that Mike Adams said, I had here, and he's already, and I thought I was such a clever boy. I thought I was going to be Mr. Smarty and impress you. I'm like, no, it's already been done.
you can impress me. Don't worry. Multiple people can come up to the same conclusions. This is really interesting. The other day, a medical doctor out of Florida wanted to do a show on a platform called Israeli News, and they just asked me to be on the Zoom call. So it was three of us like this. This was like two nights ago. And I said, do you want me to contribute to this call? And they said, no, we just want you to listen. This is the medical doctor. She's like, nope, I just want you to listen. I'm going to do a presentation for an hour with this guy. And I was like, okay. The whole presentation, when the first slide comes up, it says the original source of COVID-19. And I was like, okay. And it had this snake on – a big snake as the picture.
That's hilarious.
I was like, okay. She goes through a one-hour presentation with slides. And as she's going through it, I said – I recognize that article, right? I just kept going, I like that article. Great job. She went through her own research after all my stuff has dropped over the last 5 weeks, and she built out almost the exact same narrative that you saw with Mike Adams over 100-something documents. She did it in about 50 documents and slides. Nice. But it was all – she came to the same exact conclusions that I did, all on her own. And it was pretty phenomenal to watch. She goes, I just needed to do this, let you watch it, let you see it, because I wanted you to know there are medical doctors who are backing you up. And we would have came to the same conclusion. So it was
pretty awesome. That's glad. I understand why she asked you to do that, because she wanted to let you know that you're appreciated.
Yeah, she wanted me to know that I wasn't alone and that she came to the same conclusions on her own, which was awesome.
And I want people to understand that that's real science right there. That's real science where you take someone's theory and hypothesis and you try to recreate it. And if you can recreate it or come to the same conclusion, then there you go. That's real science. That's what they don't want us to do. They don't want us to do this at all.
You know, Dr. Stefan Lanka said you keep on questioning and questioning and questioning and questioning. And if you can't question yourself, then you're not. That's not science anymore. If you can't ask yourself if you made a mistake, then you're not doing science anymore.
Exactly.
What do you call it? So, yeah, about 3.5 years ago, I started doing the ball busters thing, and this is just like a hobby for me. Like I really enjoy doing it, but it's not what I do to make a living. I'm a hot sauce guy. I make different hot sauces, but actually sending you and Christine some of them. She said,
"Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
I love
hot
sauce."
Excellent. Beautiful. So,
we love spicy. We're from New Orleans, man. We're all Cajun. The more spicy, the better.
I love it. So, but like 3 years ago, I had to dig it up to make sure I was right. Right. I had made the connection between, how vaccines are bad. Cause I was reading Murder by Injection by Eustace Mullins. Like that's like a survival guide at this point. Right. And Dissolving Illusions. I just started recently reading, but Murder by Injection by itself tells you so much. You need to know that one. And, you know, I started making videos where I was reading parts of it. And I was like, you know, this Brotherhood of the Snake, talking about the Caduceus and stuff like that, and how it goes down to, like, Mystery Babylon type stuff and the Pharmakia and the alchemy and all this stuff. And, you know, Paracelsus, or I think that's how you say it, the guy who was all about using mercury to ruin people and then, you know, basically. But how the snake fang is just like a syringe in a sense, and that's very symbolic because it's hollow, it's pointy, it's a tube, and it shoots poison. So it's like this is what they do now. This is just the modern version of that. And I said that 3 years ago, and then Mike Adams said, I was like,
well, the actual hypodermic needle is actually made from the design of the fang.
That's amazing. That's so that's a literal thing. Like they literally did that. Like deliberate.
That's where they got the design was from the actual fangs of a snake.
That is phenomenal. So I didn't. That's good to know. I did not know that was actually a standardized like real bit of information there. I thought maybe it was just could be this, could be that, could be this.
You know what's funny is like the last ten years, there's been the top four companies on Wall Street. What's their abbreviations? They actually call it by their initials. They call it FANG. It's Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Every time I see that, I'm like, FANG. Is this ironic? I'm not sure. Is it just coincidental? I don't know. FANG, the top four money makers in all of COVID also, outside of pharmaceutical companies.
Well, I think the funniest part about it, the whole entire thing is just, you know, throughout history, gypsies has been purposely selling snake oil to people, trying to say, you know, it's certain things. I mean, here we are in today's time, someone's doing the exact same thing still.
That's pretty much how Rockefeller, like John Rockefeller's father started. He was also a horse thief and a couple other things, but he was a swindler, a hustler, and a scammer, and his son wasn't much different. But Michelle Obama, so I put this all together. Like I had this really nice presentation all around our last interview, kind of showing like stuff that you were doing with the remdesivir on stage at, it was Something America content.
Reawaken America.
Reawaken America. So I did a little section of that and then it entered into ours. And then after that, I put up Pharmakia by ODDTV, which was a really nice little presentation, and a little bit of Stefan Lanka because I happen to really respect that guy. He was fighting the whole idea of virus way back during, you know, the AIDS thing and all the way up. He said measles isn't a virus. He's all these things are not a virus. So Michelle Obama's Drink Up campaign. Now it starts to make a little sense because why spend millions of dollars touring the world telling people to drink more water? Like who benefits from that? What is it? Water can come from a tap. It's not like she didn't say drink bottled water. She didn't say drink Nestle. She just said drink more water. You should be drowning yourself with water every day. And if you don't, you're going to have health decline. Yeah, now it all seems to make it all that piece plugs in pretty well. Yeah,
tap water. I've been teaching to people even when I was a little kid. It's the most dirtiest thing in the world, and we're slow dose poisoning ourselves every single day that you drink a glass of that. You're literally slow dose poisoning, and you can literally see the effects of people if you look throughout history. look through people's facial structures and stuff, like people in the 80s, 90s. A lot of people have some really deformed-looking heads and faces and stuff like that, and a lot of people don't know why they're aging so fast. Like, literally, kids that were, like, 18 years old looked like they was 30. Like, it made no sense, and I always came to the conclusion.
There's a nutrition aspect to that, too.
I was thinking it had to be the water. It just has to be something that everybody's all doing, you know?
Yeah, so we know that there's neurotoxins and carcinogens in the form of chlorine and fluoride already added to your water, your tap water. This is why I always recommend people drinking reverse osmosis filtered water, period. And we have for our own homes over the last 15 years had at least that system on our home.
Dr. S., will that get rid of all the fluoride? Because I know fluoride is one of those things they say it's like the hardest thing. Once it's in, it's like – it's in. Like,
well,
you
fluoride
really
is hard to get out, but reverse osmosis filtering does actually remove a lot of the fluoride, more than what's already in there. And it also does bind to, in charcoal filters, it also does bind to fluoride also, which is usually what are in your filters for your fridge. But I always recommend reverse osmosis filters for your whole home. And try to keep as much chlorine and fluoride exposure out of your showers, baths, drinking water. Period. So, yep.
Right. Even if you get it in your eyes when you're taking a shower, I mean, that's great into the membrane, you know? So,
yep.
Venom Philosophase, PLA 2, that when you were talking about the snake venom and the 19 toxins, would you want to kind of like refresh people's memories? Like how that's another, like, hey, look over here, guys, you know?
Yeah. So there's an enzyme called phospholipase A2. This was actually originally ever found in king cobra venom. Phospholipase A2 is also called the biomarker for SARS-CoV-2. Like when doctors are looking at your blood, they say you should be evaluating for this PLA2. And I will tell you that the doctor who did the show the other day, like 2 days ago, on all of my discovery about the origins of SARS-CoV-2, she did her own discovery. She's like, I can't believe we've all missed this as medical doctors. They actually told us that we should be looking for this phospholipase A2 enzyme, which is actually originally ever found in king cobra venom, that you should be looking at that in COVID-19 patients and then addressing it. And there are certain things that help to reduce phospholipase enzyme, originally ever found in king cobra venom, that's inside your body with COVID-19. They said vitamin C saturation in your blood totally negates this toxin from killing you in COVID or in venom. And then they also said that choline and ashwagandha, choline is a B vitamin. It's actually protective against phospholipase enzyme and the neurological impact and the brain fog that occurs from this phospholipase enzyme. Mm-hmm. And then ashwagandha, which is an herb that helps manage cortisol hormone.
Oh, that's good.
And improve melatonin hormone. These are also very protective against phospholipase enzyme. And in this article you're talking about, January of 2020, there was a king cobra gene mapping of its toxins. It was actually published January of 2020 by a company called Genentech, and they found 139 different toxins are in the venom gland of a king cobra, but there's 19 venom-specific toxins that target organs in the body of its prey. So 19 individual components that target various organs to cause and different tissues to cause disease and death.
Amazing.
That study was funded by Genentech, organized and orchestrated by Genentech, and they declare in that first month of the pandemic published article, January 2020, they said that there's a conflict of interest that might exist because they own shares in a company called Roche. Mm-hmm. And Holland and Roche, along with Genentech, have been creating tests and making drugs, patented drugs from snake venom for decades. Anyway, so
I got classified documents from North Carolina about what they was doing with all that. Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, at Fort Bragg, if you've not done this research yet, early on in the pandemic, they took 500 military personnel and their families at Fort Bragg to do the very first research study on COVID-19 and treatment. And the antigen test that they used at Fort Braxton Bragg on these 500 military people was a antigen test looking for SARS-CoV-2 supplied by a company called Roche. Jeez. And the actual test kit is trademark named Cobras.
You got to be kidding me.
It's actually spelled C-O-B-A-S, Cobas. Put the R back in it from Roche, and you actually see what it is. They're actually looking for snake venom peptides
They know exactly what they're looking for. It's not a mystery.
I'm just surprised it didn't come out of Fort Detrick like everything else came out of Fort Detrick over the history of it.
You're gonna learn more
about camp in Fort Detrick in this documentary coming out next week. You'll see.
Nice.
Are you the one creating it? Is that the guy who was at your house?
Jonathan Otto is the filmmaker and the documentarian. He's got a film he's going to be releasing. We're going to actually kick off this Reawaken tour. I'm going to be at Myrtle Beach on Friday, in 2 days. I will be speaking on stage. In the last 2.5 minutes of my speech, we're going to be playing the trailer for the brand new documentary for the world to see. It's going to be called Covenom 19. And we're going to be taking people through classified documents from the 70s about the same venoms they're using right now and calling it COVID-19.
That's gonna be a good awakening to a lot of people that are still on the fence. Yeah.
As an introduction to when I finally knew that you would be coming on the first time, I did a 3-hour and 44-minute presentation on, you know, the stuff that I had gathered to kind of like support what was gonna come up when we were gonna talk. And I called it Snakes on a Plandemic instead of Snakes on a Plane. And I had a little picture of Samuel L. Jackson on there. I used Covenom 19. It was like Venom 19, Snakes on a Plandemic. So that's kind of cool.
That's really funny. Snakes on a Plandemic. That's funny.
That is.
And not too ironic or coincidental. I mean, they could have actually put these Venoms on planes. In ice, you drank it, and then they blamed those people flying from other countries.
Oh yeah.
When they got sick, they would have said, where did you come from? We came from China. Oh, you brought it from China. We're going to blame it on China. What about you? Where'd you come from? We came from Italy on a plane. Oh, 3 days later, you got sick? Yeah, you got that from Italy, Europe, France, wherever. And this is really how they probably orchestrated the setup to blame other countries for the spread of this, when in fact they just put it in the ice and you just drank it.
And think of the hot zones, like those who are the most, severe with their lockdowns or with their claims of illness, like Italy. And what's in Italy that we all know about? We've been talking about with the Vatican, baby. Exactly.
Oh yeah.
Look how much symbolism is just sitting there with the obelisk, and you got everything else going on, the strangeness, the giant acorn pineal gland thing that they have going on right in the center.
Yep. You know when Mike Lindell was exposing all of the voter fraud? Remember that with the 2020 election?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When Mike Lindell is showing all of the people that are getting online and actually getting into the Dominion machines in America to control the narrative of the actual outcome of the election, what they first show is when you watch it, they'll show all this stuff coming from China to America, you know, the network IP addresses coming into the American Dominion machine.
Yeah.
Do you notice where it first starts, though, when they lay out the whole satellite image of the Earth and they show all the IP addresses coming in? The very first load is coming from Italy, into the Dominion machines. And then it's China. Like, you see the same season, I'm like, why are we keep pointing at China? Look at Italy. Italy over here is controlling this whole flipping thing, man. Y'all need to pay attention to the Vatican. Stop giving them the excuse and apologize them away. They're an evil group.
I'm really good when it comes to the tech aspects of a lot of these things. I've been tracing a lot of these attacks and stuff. I know
the DDoS, yeah, the DDoS.
Yeah, I know China has data centers, and pretty much they just proxy them through every country. So they can make Russia look like they're the ones attacking. They can make anybody look like they're the ones that's attacking and stuff. The thing that gives it away 9 times out of 10 is they still write in Chinese. And that's usually what gives up their source, is like it's always in characters instead of actual letters. And I don't know.
But if you know that, you would do that as a spy anyway. Like if you were going for the Vatican, you would just utilize Chinese characters to create your code.
But I mean, then again, so would anybody else. Russia would do that to make it look like China, and you know, so it's really hard to tell that way. Like the only thing I can see is whoever got money in the game is, I know that they're the reason why it's happening. That's usually 9 times out of 10.
Follow the money, baby.
Do we want to talk about a little bit of the what the fourth industrial revolution is all about? Like, it's basically internal technology and the hijacking of humans. So, you know, between Klaus and his little buddy Harari.
You're talking about what, like Neuralink and stuff?
Crazy things. Well, no, just even like the World Economic Forum and what they're talking about with they're quite literally saying and doing right now. I just watched or listened to an old Hour of the Time from 1997, and Bill Cooper was bringing up the fact that pretty soon. I guess when RFID chips were kind of brand new or whatever, he was saying that, the Freemasonic Order and all these other guys were really pushing for these to be implanted. And at first, they always go with the pets first. That's why shots were mandated for pets first, and all this other stuff. And then they go, okay, now you're kids. And it's big leap. Now you're kids. So if everybody is walking around with a chip, they're saying satellite can always, and then he even said the word biometrics or something like that, whatever his terminology was from 1997. Fast forward to now, this is quite literally what they're doing. They want to be able to spy on you and surveil you from inside. Mm-hmm. And that, this, whatever they're doing with this venom, I think is definitely either breaking whatever they need to do biologically in order to hack into people, and then the technology takes over from there, or it's just simple stuff where it's just the same thing that's on your credit card. It could just be something that's GPS, and then they can just track it that way. But then you have your cell phone right in your hand, which is another thing that shoots out a signal. It could be interfacing with you and then sending information that way. So there's the triangulation there. So
it is an experiment. Like that's my theory. I don't think it's a respiratory virus at all. I think there's a,
obviously
not. I think this is a $1 billion project, and they needed a whole bunch of lab rats to get a whole bunch of research done in a short amount of time. I really think that's all what this is. And I believe this is linked to Neuralink or NeuroNet. I really believe that.
Well, yeah, I don't think Mr. Twitter is anybody we really want to just he's cool because he smoked with Joe Rogan.
Elon is cool, and I understand what Elon's doing. Like his heart, the whole reason why he wants to do what he's doing is he wants to make a paraplegic walk again. And I believe that. I believe that because he literally says that's all he wants this technology to go to. But he's not the only person with the technology.
And he's so responsible with that aspect because he knows that the world is just a wonderful place and nobody would ever misuse that technology.
That's right? The thing is he's not the only one. That's the thing is he's not the only one with this technology, and he knows every single bit of his research gets sold out to those same other investors and companies.
So by proxy, he's still kind of involved, isn't he?
Yeah.
Even if it's just by proxy.
Still kind of, yeah. It's sad at the same time, but I get we got to experiment somehow. We got to figure out how to get past this. Why are we telling soldiers that came back from Iraq, this is it for you?
That was a thanks for the kick in the emotions there, buddy.
it's sad that we could let billionaire Soros live to 150 with no problem, but here's a guy with no leg, one arm, and he's barely surviving on his own, and he's probably about to be homeless now with Biden in the office. So it's I don't get what's going on with this country. I see Elon wants to actually put it into the right part of it. It's just what everybody else wants to do with it. It's the problem.
The thing that before I make my statement, let me just ask Dr. Artis, do you have any weigh in on the World Economic Forum basically telecasting everything that they're going to do to us between famine and everything else that's going on? Do you have any fear?
I never really paid attention to this until COVID started, because once you start trying to figure out how to make sense out of what they're all doing with the mandates, the lockdowns, you start having to look at who would want to benefit from doing any of this. And it really does almost always turn back to the World Economic Forum and their agenda, which was really created by the Club of Rome in the 60s. Mm-hmm. They've just adopted it. And I've said this for the last 2 years. I'm like, they're actually using climate change as the excuse for COVID. The bats came out of the cave because of climate change, and you guys are ruining the planet with your resources. This whole thing is we're going to blame humans for climate change and orchestrating a gain of function pathogen or weaponizing the venoms. Really? You really think that we're destroying the planet, or cows are destroying the planet because we're, we're eating them. Thanks to Leonardo DiCaprio's Cowspiracy documentary. We're going to blame a whole bunch of cows or destroying the planet's atmosphere. No, this is a man-made created pandemic, a man-made created climate change environmentalist ridiculous thing that started in the 60s by the Club of Rome. They believe the population of the Earth is getting out of control, and they want to actually cull the herd, number one, and they have to do it, they said, by the year 2030.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so they're still falling through.
They had a decade to solve the problem.
Yeah.
starting in 2020.
That's another thing I keep reminding everybody is we are at those last days of the Agenda 21, which is, yeah, it goes to the 2030 extension. They're literally not looking for serial killers anymore. They're not hunting down the illegal immigrants that just shot people and stuff. They're literally letting these deaths happen without stopping it. And people need to wake up and realize that.
Yeah, so I just want you to know that there is an agenda. Even when you wrap it up into COVID, the snake venom discussion even, you guys need to pay attention to a company called Ophirix. The Wellcome Trust Fund, which is tied as a partner with the World Economic Forum, the Wellcome Trust Fund has just committed millions of dollars to a brand new company called Ophirix, O-P-H-I-R-E-X, in the last 2 years. There is a $100 million commitment over the next 7 years to the same company with the Department of Defense, the World Health Organization, and the Wellcome Trust Fund tied to the World Economic Forum. They say that by the year 2027, they have to reduce the effects of snake bites on the planet with this anti-venom drug that they're using right now to treat COVID-19 patients. Amazing. It's an anti-venom oral pill. And this is what these companies are investing hundreds of millions of dollars to. And they said they have to fix this snake bite problem, which is venom. They got to fix this problem by the year 2030 is the World Health Organization's reasoning for supporting Ophirix, an anti-venom company. They say they have to fix this problem by the year 2030, which is a World Economic Forum year. You guys need to pay attention. The Club of Rome idea that was created to actually be the excuse to create infertilization of women all around the world, cause miscarriages of women with these COVID-19 shots, create vaccine programs that Bill Gates was totally okay talking about in 2010 at a TEDx talk. He said we need to reduce the population of the earth and we can do it with the vaccine program.
I'm convinced that they don't talk. Sorry, yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm convinced that they're talking past us to their other people. Like they're just doing status reports to their masters. They're not talking to us.
Did you see the follow-up on that one? In 2016, someone actually did a follow-up to that statement that he made. And then this was his answer. He says, we're not talking about the average, everyday American person and stuff like that. He literally said, we're talking about people in third world countries. I'm still sitting here thinking, well, who are you to say someone could live and someone could die?
Right.
Now they call them useless eaters.
Yeah.
Using up resources and not providing benefits to society.
I couldn't believe he actually gave that as an excuse, like people would accept that. And they did. No one was appalled by it there or anything. I couldn't believe it.
Well, you know, Josh, we're all New Ager Luciferians, according to some of the people that comment on us. You know, we're all part of the agenda because we talk to people who happen to be known. It's hilarious.
I mean, I don't believe that that's the real answer at all. I believe he meant the whole world. You know, I believe he meant anybody that wasn't rich, that's not in the club. And that was just another excuse for him to push off it's not happening to you, so what do you got to worry about?
Oh, no, they push it forward in the media that they're going after blacks, Hispanics.
Yep.
They're going after the gay community like they did with AIDS. Mm-hmm. They're targeting all of those groups and Native Americans, all indigenous people. This goes back to Darwinism even. Yep. I just recently learned that on Tasmania, the island, that Darwin went there as a evolutionary experiment. He said it was important to wipe out all the indigenous aborigines in that country, and they killed them all. They said that they were hindering the human advancement.
And this is so the 1840s, was it not? Like what era was that? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, 40s and 50s, somewhere.
Nobody talks about that when they talk about their wonderful Darwin, do they?
Yeah, there's people from Australia having these conversations with me, and I'm like, oh my God, I had no idea. Yeah, they wiped them all out. And there was a period, even in Australia, until recently, like in the last few decades, where people were allowed to hunt aborigines.
Oh my God.
Legal. You could just hunt them down and shoot them and kill them.
Santos Bonacci used to talk about that a lot, I believe.
So this is not new. This is a massive eugenics program. There are people who believe they're superior to you, and they'll find any reason, whether you're not wealthy enough, you don't have enough of a scale socially, right, an influence socially that they think you need to take you out, or your genetics is an issue, your race, your religion. It doesn't matter. They come up with any reason why you're inferior to them, and they say you need to be gone.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie. I'm kind of on the fence with the whole, you know, the way Nikola Tesla used to approach it, was just like, you know, just be a little bit wise. That type of eugenics, where it's like, just be a little bit wiser at who you decide to mate with. You know, we don't need to keep on populating people, more dumb people in the world. I get that. I'm down with that because right now they're kind of overflowing, you know. But that's we're not talking about taking people and lining them up and putting them in a ditch or any other type of horrible way to do it, because they're not exactly selective. They don't care what the voters are.
There is a current eugenics program still at the NIH, the National Institutes of Health. Go to their website.
Quite literally.
It's actually called the Human Genome Project. At the NIH.
That's what they call it, the Human Genome Project?
Yeah, just go look at it. They actually give you the whole timeline throughout the United States, their chronological history of eugenics at the Human Genome Project's site on the NIH's website. This is no different. It's what it is.
So when you were saying how these certain, you know, venoms will attack certain organs in the body, what – this is the only thing I thought I could – like couldn't get out of my head was 23andMe, Ancestry.com. They can figure out what you are, where you came from. If they don't like you for some old past prejudice, they'll get you. And if they know your medical history, like especially people that you know receive some kind of benefit from the government, I always said that they're going to be the ones that go first because you're dependent and they have you, basically. They feel like they own you, so therefore you're property. You're not people. You can be disposed of. So the people that think that they're, you know, mommy, daddy, government, socialist, yay, hooray, hooray. And going along with that, too, is that with 23andMe and what Dr. Artis was saying is that these venoms can specifically target certain ailments like diabetes, renal failure, which is kidneys, and heart disease. Well, if they already have your map out because you decided to go to 23andMe or Ancestry.com, which is a giant database now, they also have an idea of what your family is because of your blood, right? Your genetics, so they can design specifically target you through your insurance because that's how they track you, who you are, and what you're getting as far as your shots, so that they can give you something that's going to work very well with your biological makeup to give them the result that they want, not so much the one that you want, but the one that they want. They're going to be the ones that get wiped out first, and when communism ever takes over, the first people they get rid of are all the people that supported them, because they don't need them anymore.
So always remember the words, let them eat cake.
Let them eat cake. All right, well, I enjoyed this interview. I need to go have some lunch with my kid.
All right, man.
Good talk. Good meeting you, Dr. Artis.
It's great. Sir,
thank you. It's been a pleasure. And go ahead, Josh. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I hope to get to see you more and talk to you more and follow up with this stuff, because I'm very curious to see – you know, the nicotine studies. I heard that there was doctors actually giving Nicorette gum and stuff now, and that's actually effective. And
we know that's what they're giving them, in that pill over at Ophirix, and just getting dumped a bunch of money to do it.
It's amazing to see, you know, the stuff that is in our face every single day is the actual cure to the stuff that they try to say something you got to fear, you know.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Well, you guys are awesome, and God bless you all, and I'm proud of you, Josh. Proud of you guys.
Thank you. You have a good one, bud. See ya.
Thank you very much, buddy.
Bye. Hey, Josh. You want to stick around and talk a little bit more?
Sure.
All right. All right. I know that the break, or the end of the show, I should say, is coming up in about a couple seconds. So when that starts, which is right now, I'm going to go ahead and stay on. So for those of you on the podcast, don't go away just because you hear the outro, okay? I will be continuing this on, and you guys on the video, obviously you'll see that there's still some time left. So just keep a little listening and watching. But for now, signing off over here on Revolution Radio. Ball Busters out.
It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Fripp Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt, yes, I've been thinking. Welcome to the Crypt.
What the heck is the truth, Jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth.